Blog Talk Radio. Everybody, welcome to Gina's Groove Theory. Good to be here. Today is actually March 2nd, 2013, broadcasting live out of Long Beach. This is your KXRW, your community connection internet radio station. It's been a minute for me, but I'm back and in effect. Today, well, like I always start my show, it's been quite a while. I haven't seen you guys, talked to you guys since January 2nd, but I've been out there working with, I've been doing a lot of research. I've been finding a lot of information that's very important to us all. You guys know I speak to you about serious issues. We got to get real serious. These shows that are going to be coming up in the next few weeks, to the next few months, to the next few years, as long as God blesses me to be here, are going to be informative, informing all of us what our current status is. Where do we stand? What are our rights? What can we do? A lot of people say, well, hey, You know, we pay taxes. There are all kinds of complaints out there. Everybody has something to input on. But the real true secret is everybody's paying a lot of attention to things that are not even important at this point in our lives. You know, you have the religious leaders who say it's the end of the world. You have other sects that say, well, you know, it's Illuminati, it's, you know, spiritual, we're in spiritual warfare. And I can't say that much is true. We are in a spiritual warfare. The spiritual warfare we're in is not as what we would know back in the biblical days. It's a spiritual warfare amongst each other. You guys know I always promote community through unity. You know, it's the only way. Awareness is key. Bringing out of the resourceful and informational information that's out there, me bringing people, the professionals, my scholars, my teachers, my mentors, my closest confidants in that sense of the word, of bringing us closer to getting a better knowledge about how we're going to work this world. You know, like I tell a lot of my people out there, I say, you know, the world is your oyster, crack it open. Most of you guys who know me, you know that's what I say. It means a great deal. God dollars in heaven bucks as well. Nothing about religion. You know, the one thing that we all have in common is that we are human beings. We're the one animal that has the right to choose. We can either choose to go the right way or we can choose to go the wrong way. God gives us that choice. Whatever you call him, God, Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever you call him, the creator, he's all one. Buddha, he's all the creator of this world, this beautiful world that we live in. Yeah, there's some things going on that I must say are very not too good for us. You ask yourself, where is the state of man? Most of you guys ask me, well, what is it I can do? What's going on? Tell me, keep me informed. That's why I'm here. It's been 3 long weeks since today is the second, so it's been actually, today makes the 4th week I've been off the air. And while I've been gone, I've been quite busy. As you know, I told you I'm going to bring you those real down-to-earth things that we should know. See, there's all kinds of smoke screens out there. There are all kinds of people telling you what it is. But they're not telling you what it really, really is. Where are we? Today's show, actually, you know, in recognition of Black History Month, which happens to be February, hopefully I can get a friend to call in and tell you guys what he told me last night that kind of woke me up about a lot of things. You know, it's been over 50 years since our civil rights leaders led the fight into desegregation of Black Americans, the Negro people, colored people, whatever you want to, however you call it, no racially discriminative puns. The desegregation that Kennedy opened up for everybody, Martin Luther King stepped, Rosa Parks and everybody in the NAACP, I believe, got their first real task or to fight. What is today? What is about 2013 that you can say has changed? Are we living in a world of everybody has their equal right to live freely, work, maintain, just like everybody else? Are we on the same level here? Is everybody on the same planet? I see we're on the same planet. We're here. Are we on the same page? That is something that we all have to discuss. I've been doing a lot of talking to a lot of politicians and other radio hosts like myself who have made me aware of so many things. It is so much better to have a group, not even just say a group, one, two, more than three voices in any topic of conversation to get a different eye view from everybody. It's not one person that has the precedence to make the decisions on anyone. We all work together as a team. Teamwork. I was pretty good as a supervisor in the corporate world of keeping my 200-plus employees all on the same page, staying within the realms of being in between a wimp and a tyrant as a supervisor, always keeping in mind where I came from. I never lost that prior. Most of you guys out there that know my life know I was financially driven. I was financially prosperous in my life. Today, after so many current events, life changes, hurdles, adversity, I'm here. And I'll have spiritual prosperity. Total different situation is how I lived before. All I have that I can say that I visibly know that it's real is that I'm here and I'm trying to do the best I can to make a difference. And I've been talking to some people who want to make a difference with me. We have to come to some type of common ground and work together. That's where we're at today. That's where we'll be. Today, this is Genius Groove Theory. This is your KXRW, your Community Connection Internet Radio Station, broadcasting live out of Long Beach, California. It is now 11 after the hour. And like I always do, you know, my first thing that I always love to do, it's been quite a minute since I've been in my studio. So let's see. You know, I also have a lot of new music out here that I'm going to be bringing to you as well. You know me. We're going to keep it light. We're going to keep it going. We're going to try to make some solutions to some of these and some solutions to some of the problems, some of these social issues that we face as a community. This is not just this community. This is communities worldwide, everywhere where we are. I touch as far as the other end of the world, and if that's how far I can touch, and if we can touch people out there, that's so be it. Today, March 2nd, 2013, broadcasting here in Long Beach. This is Regina Groove Theory. I want you guys to welcome my good friend. I'm touching, let's say, I wondered how I was going to be able to get united with other people. I'm going to take it state by state. Every state that's out there, I'm going to touch. I have friends in every state, every corner of the world now. Much love to all of you guys out there who support me. And like I always do when I start my show, I always have to give thanks and praise to the man up above. Without him, nothing would be possible in lieu of what it is that I need to make a difference here. You know, my intro song always starts off as it is. I ask myself what it is that I can do to make a difference. You can ask yourself what it is that you can do. I will give you the tools of what I did to get to where I am. You know, this life is a beautiful life when you start to get the idea of where we're supposed to be as man, as woman, as our families, as our children. What legacy are we going to leave? Or are we going to leave a legacy? Are we going to even be existent in the next 2-3 years? This is a serious topic. This is worldwide. I'm going to bring out some serious issues that you guys are going to have to toss it over in your heads. So while we give praise and thanks to the man up above before we go into the break, you know, like Mary J. says, always got to give that thanks and praise. So here you go on Genius Groove Theory. This is my first day back after a long month of research, connecting, interchanging information. I'm back. It is now 13 after the hour, and this is Genius Groove Theory. So let's give that thanks. Thank you, Lord, by Mary J. Blige. And then after that, we'll take a small break, and I'll play something really nice for you on that. Got some new music in the studio for you as well. So let's give him his praise. This is Genius Groove Theory. Thank you, Lord.
I'm
way, we're back. It's 14 minutes after the hour. This is Gina's Groove Theory. This is your KXRW, your community connection internet radio station broadcasting. And I'm Gina. You're with The Theory. Thank you guys for showing up and being here. I appreciate all of the support, all of the good love that you guys send my way. We're going to go ahead and we're gonna start it off with It Ain't Over. The one thing that I can say, if you don't stand up for something, you fall down for everything. That's what it said. So many generations before us have went and said that. So in other words, we have to remain courageous. We got to offer hope to other people. We have to uplift. And like my good friend, Jim Rohn, that's Jim, R-O-H-N, check him out, Power of Ambition. He says, the steps to success, success is not where you live, what you drive, what money you have, how you dress. Success is being happy with what you have until you can do better. And then when you do get to that point where you do better, you take that, and the first thing you do is to give it back. Spread a little bit in some self-enterprises. 30% of that should be charity, self-enterprise, and investment. That other 70% is profit. Put it up. Write it in the books. You got to check them out. Jim Rohn. Jim, J-I-M, Rohn, R-O-H-N. Go on YouTube. Check out The Power of Ambition. 7 hours, you can listen to it straight. You say, 7 hours is a long time. It's a powerful man. And he's doing something that I just love. More than anything, being an unusual character, he's bringing hope and he's telling secrets to humanity. And, you know, we know, stereotypically, a lot of people say, man, love that such stature wouldn't do that. Man, you know what? The miracle's happening everywhere. Nobody looks the way they are. Nobody is who they say they are. And you can't judge a book by its cover. So we keep that in mind. We're going to go ahead and take a break. I'm glad to be back. Welcome, everybody. I'm glad you're out there. Hope I got some new folks out there to support on the team. Represents for our vets out there, our vets, America, our troops, coming back home. There are all kinds of things that we need to get busy on. And for one, we have to start with giving a little bit of love, tenderness, and compassion and consideration to the ones who made it all possible for me to be here, you here. After God, it's those men and women who fight the wars and the battles in order for our freedom. Well, what we think is our freedom, they still fight for it. So in recognition of them too, you guys, take a moment. Check out Shepherd's Pasture on my Facebook. Go ahead and like it. Support it. Get your family, friends, your, say, military family, people who have military questions, professionals and all alike. Come on out there and check out the page and get some input. Let's put an end to stigmas of what we think mental illness is when it applies to a vet as opposed to a regular civilian. Let's put an end to the stigma. All hate, injustice, inequality, and unfair treatment of all human beings, all animals, every living thing. Today, we can do it. It's not that hard. Some people say it's idealistic. Call me idealistic? No. It's not having an idea. It's living and walking a dream for me, for all of us. There is a greater, better place on the other side of where we're at today. So let's invest in that. We're going to do a time check. It's 4:20. And like I always say, it ain't over. This next song and I'm playing on Gina's Groove Theory is called It Ain't Over. When everything seems like it's at its lowest, bleakest, that's where I get my power. When those that think that I'm helpless, I'm really not. All that does is just sharpen me up, keep my feet on the ground, me on my toes. That's where we're at today. It ain't over, people. Keep that and hold that close. We'll be back in 2 and 2. 19 after the hour. This is Gina on The Theory, and here you go. It ain't over, people. Stand up and be counted.
There's no reason to shout, but the impossible is God's chance to work a miracle, so just know it ain't over until God. Until God says it's done. No, 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 it ain't over. Until God says it's over, keep fighting until your victory is won. I'm
you. It ain't over. It ain't over. I don't care what you're going through. Feels like you're down for the last count. It ain't over. Feels like you cried your last tear. Not over. Not over. Not over. Not over. God has the final say. God has the final say. God has the final say. That said you wouldn't make it, but God has the final say. That said you won't be nothing, but God has the final say. That said you ain't going nowhere, you ain't about nothing, but God has the final say.
Hello, everybody. You are back to Gina's Group Theory. This is your KXRW, your Community Connection Internet radio station, broadcasting live out of Long Beach, California. Thank you guys for being here. I'm happy to be back. I'm well refreshed. I have new and informative information for you guys as well. That was It Ain't Over. And like I said, it's not over until we've done all we can do. Friend of mine's out there, shout out there to all my classmates at Long Beach City College. Much love to you guys. Doing some homeschooling, pretty much. Shout out there to Jay out there in New York. Shout out there to my Ohio peeps. Swag team out there. Much love to you guys out there. And a shout out to Mr. Blair Braxton out of Jacksonville, Florida, bringing that Impact Radio to you real soon. It's going to be hot, y'all. My love to all of you guys. Shout out there to everybody in my community. Shout out there to everybody in every community. This is your Gina's Groove Theory broadcasting here. I'm back and in effect. It is now 28 after the hour. And we're here. Beautiful day out here in sunny Southern California. Just right. We're going to go ahead and be giving my friend, a good friend, a call. We're going to have Mr. Junie George the Third out calling in. We're going to give him a call. I told him I'll call him. Most of you guys know, you guys at home that want to express yourselves, you got something to say and you don't want to say it, you guys know how I do it. I'll represent for you. Send me the texts. I'll read them. I'll bring it to the people. I'll be your voice. I am your voice. You are mine. I got you. You got me. We got each other. It's all good out there. So touch me. Let me know if there's something that you need. There's something that you might want to hear for me to play, too, as well. It's been a beautiful, beautiful, let's say, month of beautiful in the sense of it was spring. I was able to think clearly and get all my ducks up in the row, and that's what you should do. Plan A to Z when it comes down to taking care of what we can do as a community. It can be done. I have my naysayers out there, but then I also have my people out there who are rallying to do what it is that we need to do. It's a beautiful world. It can be a beautiful world. Don't have to be so much anger, hate, and disenchantment with each other to make a difference. Tomorrow's show is going to be brilliant as well. I promise you guys, I'm going to bring to you the people who can inspire you, tell you what their life stories, their testimonies. People are doing it all over the world. Hey, you know, someone told me, said, oh, you're a miracle. Man, I'm going to be bringing you some miracles. Miracles all in all different states, all in different cities. They're alive and kicking. They're here. And it's a beautiful day today. I go ahead and do a time check, do a call letter. Play a little something to get you guys going. This next song is Justified. You guys know Smokey Norville. Gonna go ahead and keep that on a peaceful level. Go ahead and check in with my guest. We're going to pop him a call, and we're going to let him tell you what Las Vegas, Nevada is all about in 2 and 2. This is your KXRW, your Community Connection Internet radio station, broadcasting live out of Long Beach, California. This is Gina's Group Day. Welcome. Be justified in everything you do. Do nothing that is not justifiable. As Smokey said, who's going to be the one who saves you? Who saved me? Who's going to save us all? Together we can save each other. The man upstairs, we can't fail. Here you guys go. It's now 31 after the hour, and be justified. This is Justified on the Theory. Hold it close to your heart and think about it. It's my testimony. 2 and 2. Much love. Thank you guys for being here.
If it hadn't been for the grace of God, you would have been
Hello, everybody. It's back to Gina's Groove Theory. This is your KXRW, your Community Connection Internet Radio Station, broadcasting live out of Long Beach, California. I'd like to thank you guys for being here. It is now 36 minutes after the hour. Beautiful day outside. Sun is shining. California is looking pretty nice today. Feeling kind of good today. Hope everybody out there is having a great, great Saturday. Mall shopping and family. Family's nice, too. Shout out there to BCM Ministries. Hope everything is doing good out there as well. Everybody being spiritually prosperous is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Shout out there to Mr. Wuko out there for, AM Radio 970 of Miami, Florida. Shout out there to Mr. Davis. All my people out there on Facebook who's supporting. Well, you know, I've been kind of blocked from sending it out. Well, I don't even know. We'll discuss that, too. A lot of things going on within these circles. And, you know, hey, we're going to have to put an end to some of this foolishness. You know, you have to kind of live. You know, I tell people all the time, you have to live by what you say. You don't have to be a perfect. You have to be perfect. No one's perfect. You don't have to live up to anybody's standards. But what's most important is that you live up to the standards that's inside you. And that you do what's, let's say, righteously correct by everybody. We're all human here. We all can talk. You guys know this is the forum for everybody. As long as you come and you're respectful and you're alert and you're courteous to everyone else, like most of you always do, we're rolling. It takes a whole group. So it takes a village. You know, you ever heard that saying, it takes a village to raise a child? Nowadays, things are a little different. We have to work in the homes from the inside out. I don't have any little ones, but a lot of little ones out there, a lot of you guys are raising little ones. Shout out there to my girl, Sheila, just had a baby. Shout out there to little Marcus and all the other children out there in the world. Shout out there to everybody. I'm just glad to be back here on the theory. I just don't know what to do. I'm overjoyed. It is now 39. After the hour. And I love this cut. And it speaks volumes. When you look at people who are to lead, leaders lead the people. Followers follow behind someone else and lead the people who are following them to their death. We all want to be leaders amongst each other. No one person has to get behind or sit on the back of the bus or any of that extra. Not today. This is 2013. The show's topic is, how far have we really come since desegregation? Since all those lives were lost, and I mean, there were major lives lost just for the right to be able to go to the same school, you know, to be able to get on a school bus. Those very rights that some of us today, I don't care by any race, it doesn't matter. We all take it for granted. I took the use of my hand for granted. Today, it's a whole different thing. We have to focus more on appreciation of the things that we have, value of the people that we love, and letting them know who we are. We're going to go ahead and pop. I want you guys to give a warm welcome to my good friend, Junie. He is a prime example, one example of, well, let's give him a call first. I want you guys to get to know him. When you say, well, Gina, how is it that you do what you do? Nothing no more special than anyone else. Like I tell people all the time, the people all over this whole United States who are making a difference. You know, don't deny, don't say, well, it can't be, it's impossible. There are people out there all over the world making changes. One day at a time. That's tomorrow show, you guys. Making a difference one day at a time. And that's my friend, Mr. David Hanshaw out there in Texas. Awesome man, awesome. He started his organization for special needs children out of his own pocket. No private funding, no state funding, no local funding, none of it. No federal funding. He's a miracle, and he's a miracle. That's what I say, a miracle in the making. And we're going to have him out here tomorrow. He's going to be calling in from Longview, Texas. He's going to give us some of our secrets. Tell me some of those secrets that he got out there. We're going to pay close attention because if he can do it, we all can do it. That's right. You got to keep the man out your business. He did it, and we can do it too. This is the Genius Groove Theory. It is now 41 after the hour, and this is my guy, Ludacris, and the now defamed Bishop Eddie Long, as you guys know. It's not the messenger. It's the message. You don't have to follow the preacher, but the word can educate you. One word out of a sentence can make a difference. So, in respect to that, we don't follow the messenger. We just listen to the message. This is Ludacris with Bishop Eddie Long and Freedom of Preach. Don't preach it unless you walk it. Walk the talk, talk the talk. Like Rihanna and Jay-Z. Bottom line, here's Freedom of Preach on the Genius Groove Theory. It is now 42 after the hour. It's your KXRW, your community connection internet radio station broadcasting worldwide. Much love to all of you guys. Take a listen and a gander. Listen for you young people out there. Listen to you young men out there. Let's get it together. Prevention is sure better than a cure. That's powerful. I thought about this a couple of days. Prevention, better than a cure. As opposed to waiting to after, the after effects or the pre-thought of what you could be or what you, the insistence or somebody else's idea what you could be, let's put an end to that. Prevention, let's stop it. Got a whole lot of topics out here with you guys that I got to bring to you. So hang in tight. Take a listen to Ludacris. It's another young man who owns his own, and he pays his taxes. You guys pay your taxes. All you money people out there, pay your taxes. Don't slip into the hole. Here's Genius Groove Theory. It's 43 after, and here's Freedom of Preach on the Groove Theory.
Can the church say amen?
Amen.
We're going to do another offering right now. We're going to do another one in 15 minutes, and we're going to do one more right after that. Yes. Women, you're looking so very beautiful in here today. Some of you with the same thing on from the club last night. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Oh, Lord Jesus, I wish you'd take away Sister Mary's wig. Oh, you disrespecting the house of God with that thing. It don't even look real. Oh, it's testimony time. Oh, who is that? Young Chris Bridges. Boy, I'm glad you finally grew into the meal. Go on and testify.
Lord, please forgive me for the mistakes I've made. And thanks for keeping my mama safe when she wrecked my Escalade. See, I could replace a Cadillac, but I can't replace my mama. I'm sorry for the hip-hop beats, we sorry for the drama. But you gotta understand, us rappers ain't never had nothing. And one's loss is another's gain, so we gotta grab something. Lord, got so many questions I need the answer to. And sorry for the things I put my baby's mama through. I feel that women are really the strongest human beings, but why do you make them so emotional? And other minor things, I guess it's your way of saying we gotta love them and gotta praise them, cause without them we'd be nothing. Plus our kids, they gotta raise them while we out and about and seeing what life has to offer. But if you offer a new life, then what we need is better fathers. Either I'm smarter cause of my daughter, or I'm just too dense. I'm 28 years old, it just now started making sense, and I've been
searching so long. I was lost in the clouds. I'm trying to stay strong and make you proud. It took me some time, but now I know that He resides in me. Yeah.
Lord, forgive me for any time a fan said I was being rude. I'm only human, I'm not always in the best of moods. But thanks for giving the gift of rap to write my feelings down. And sorry for cursing sometimes, but feelings make me shout them out. Forgive the people that wanna blame everything on rap music. If they didn't live it, they can't relate or even adapt to it. Forgive those who don't think I'm great and wanna see me go. Forgive Oprah for editing most of my comments off a show. Don't get me wrong, I know some people got an image to hold. But those who criticize the youth might just be getting too old. We still traveling through life, finding what's right or wrong. I know some folks may not agree or even like this song. But I'm just speaking my truth, cause I heard it sets you free. And my conversations with God, even though He speaks through me, I'm smarter cause of my daughter, and I'm not too dense. I'm 28 years old, it just now started making sense, and I've been
searching so long.
I've been searching so long.
I was lost in the clouds.
I admit that I've been lost in them
clouds. I'm trying to stay strong.
I'm just trying to stay strong.
strong, baby. You know I'm gonna make you proud.
It took me some time.
I know life is full of contradictions. I'm trying to become a better man. Praying for redemption. Each and every day.
Hallelujah. That's the choir sings. Tonight came with some words of encouragement, Mr. Eddie Long.
What you just heard is real life. It's real life for you, it's real life for many. It's about where you've been, yet at the same time, you find yourself in the midst of conflict and turmoil. Yes, I'm talking to you in the midst of conflict and turmoil, because you realize, hey, it's time to change right now. And in the middle of that, I want to say this. The Bible says that when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Hey, but when I became a man, I put away those childish things. Did you not know that your environment has shaped you? Where you were born, in the projects, in the ghettos, in the upper downtown, wherever it was, the people around you, the things around you, caused you to do strange things because you were seeking to learn, but what you learned was on the street and not in the book. God called you a prophet. When you open up your mouth, everything of God comes out, and it commands attention. It commands change. I'm talking about the power that's inside of you. And in the midst, when you're starting to understand that I caught the wrong message, and now it's time, I'm hearing from God. What amazing experience as you hear from God. He said, "It's therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away." Somebody needs to hear that. And behold, everything becomes new. And when everything becomes new in you, it's time to stop the killing. I said it's time to stop the stealing. It's time to stop disrespecting our women. It's time for us to come home and raise our children. It's time for us to really mold our communities. It's time for us not to get hooked up in religion, but to get hooked up in relationships with God. And the amazing thing about it is wherever you find yourself right now, you can confess and you can tell God, "I'm sorry. I had the wrong cue. I was doing the wrong thing. I was going after things that I thought were right, but it wasn't right. And now that I'm getting it right, I'm asking you to forgive me. And I may have done the things that they said I did, but I'm not who they say I am. I am who you made me to be, and I'm changing in that." And it takes a moments, but every time I fall down, I'll get right back up. And every time I make a wrong turn, I'll get myself back in line, because I recognize I have been called for such a time as this. You can't resist the change, and you're not condemned by your yesterday if you can grab hold of your now and move in your destiny. Move, change, and be now.
Everybody, welcome back to Gina's Groove Theory. This is your theory here, and this is Gina. It is now 50 after the hour. I do have someone out there who caller who wants to say hello. We're going to go ahead and pop Vegas a call, bring him on in, so hold tight. This is your Groove Theory here, and we're going to see what's going on with my guest. I want you guys to give a nice, warm welcome to Mr. George. He's a great guy. He's a community activist as well, and he serves the Lord as though I do. I'm not quite like him, but he's steadfast and dedicated. So let's go ahead and pop him a call. Hang in there tight. I got you. Say hello and see what he's up to right now. So just say hello. Hold that thought, you guys. We going to go ahead and see. And also, too, we got somebody in-house studio here, too, as well. And that's going to be it. Yes, of course, some guests come on and they step on in. So with that, I'm very thankful for that today. Let's say my studio. Let's go ahead and say hi to that caller first and see who's out there. So let's say hi. Hold that thought. Hello, who's out there?
Yo, good afternoon. This is your boy Urban Voodoo, live and direct, spoken word artist out of Long Beach, California. What's good?
Hi, how are you doing? I didn't even know that was you. I'm like, okay. I'm doing great. Thank you. This is Mr. Urban Voodoo as well. He's a very multi-talented man out here. He's in activism. He's in everything. And I learned a lot about him just in the short conversation we had today. Thank you. I'd like to welcome you to the Genius Groove Theory. And I'm proud to have you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself?
Well, okay.
Let them know what you're about.
All right. Well, just to let everybody know a little bit about me, I am a spoken word artist. I'm based between Long Beach, California, and North Hollywood. North Hollywood being the base of operations for the West Side. However, on the East Side of Long Beach, I work for Long Beach City College as a peer advisor. So. I work with students and different people throughout the community. I've sat on some pretty strong boards helping out from 2010 and a couple years on throughout the city of Long Beach. I've been pretty active in the 6th District. Founded an organization called Young Poets Society, and they are actively mentoring and putting on open mics. I also host a poetry venue in Long Beach on Artesia and Atlantic at the Anointed Diva Boutique. And if I could give a shameless plug, the show is called The Sacred Scribe, and it happens every second and fourth Friday at 801 East Artesia Boulevard in Long Beach. And from that, make sure that I reach as many people as possible. It's about giving voice to the voiceless and elevating people and creating an atmosphere where literacy is important. Right now, and if we look at the mainstream media and different outlets that people have, let's call them the soapboxes, we're in a situation where, the best way to make a message in the media, it seems, is to talk about the most basic things. If you watch commercials, it'll be becoming even more sensual and sexual in nature. You listen to the music, it's becoming more vulgar, more demeaning. And if you watch TV, it's more violent. So we poets, we are on a mission to elevate the consciousness of the masses and uplift those who feel they don't have a say, because I believe that each and every one of us has a say. I also host a venue in the Leimert Park area, which is very important because Leimert Park is like the cultural hub of Los Angeles. We are definitely trying to keep Leimert Park alive in the midst of all this gentrification that takes place from Los Angeles all the way down to Long Beach and all the way to the Valley. I mean, it's like people are getting pushed out. And that venue is called Jenga Jenga. And that happens every second and fourth Friday. And, I'm a poet, so, the best way to give you a bird's eye view of who I am or what I'm about would probably be to give you a poem, if you wouldn't mind that. I could do that.
Of course. Come on now. You know what? This show really is for the people. And you really inspired me. I didn't think I could get any more higher, without any intoxication, any more higher than I could have gotten today. And speaking to you, I know I got a lot off my, I got to tell you a lot. There still was more to tell you, but I feel freeing. And that I know that, some people say that it's idealistic to be able to make a world where everybody can get along. I did get some praise out there from some folks saying that I don't know. I can't see, and I don't really... I don't really grasp, you know, too good on compliments and things like that. So when people tell me I'm doing something good, you know, I'm like, I'm just doing what I was put here to do. I mean, because prior to this, I was a cut-up. Yeah, I'm still a cut-up, but the deal is, prior to this, you know, I really didn't have any. I thought when my nan would say, you know, you gotta be humble. And I said, I am humble. I am humble. Well, you know, humbleness comes from, it comes from really the struggle. It comes from, you know, just getting to know people and people coming in place of to be a helping hand to you. And
right.
It's not more so a payback thing for me. It's a pay it forward kind of thing. If you guys ever saw that movie, it's not paying back, it's paying it forward. Because
yeah.
I know I did it. A lot of people say to me, hey, you know what? Last night on the way, I went to go get some barbecue in L.A. on the way. I met two people who needed some assistance, both from Detroit. Two different, well, not in the same place, but right after each other. I ended up helping the lady. She has a daughter, and she's from Detroit, and, you know, she's at a motel. Ended up helping her. Then I go on down a little further, and I meet a man who needed, he needed some help. It's like, wow. I was like, I'm in L.A., you know, out here in Long Beach, you know, it's just regular everyday thing because, you know, everybody know me. But it's like I go to L.A., wherever I go, you know, it's just like God sends people. Either they send them to me or I can sense when people are hungry. It's the weirdest thing. I can sense when people are in need of things. And I say that's a gift. It's a gift to be able to see that. But by the time I got home, it was like 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, wow, you know, God is really good to me. And then you being here and talking to me today, I mean, out of the days, we've been friends on Facebook for quite a minute. We kind of talk here and there. I try to touch everybody as best I can. But today actually is the first day that we really, really talked. I know you represent for Long Beach City as well. I send a shout out there too. You got to give all your shouts out to all your people because, you know, I think a lot of my poets that are on my Facebook now, or a lot of them are coming from you.
Well, you know, it's about, you know, well, let me go back to something you said because I think of the age-old adage, you are what you eat, you know, about consumption. And one of the things that we fail to realize when we talk about humility is that, you know, being humble does not mean that one is passive. You know, one is not passive because work takes assertion. We must assert ourselves. We must make sure that we put our best foot forward. In other words, paying it forward. And then if you broke it down even bigger, we say push it forward. Like when we decided we wanted to grow as a race of people, the human race, and we had to push those boulders out of our way so we can get on the other side of that pass, that mountain pass, we pushed them. You know what I'm saying? We used whatever leverage we needed to, but you got to push forward whatever obstacles in your way. And when I say this idea of consumption, it comes from the idea taken from an Arabic word, akala, which basically means you are what you eat. In other words, we consume things through our, not only our mouths, but also through what we listen to, also what we watch, you know, and also, you know, the places that take us where we, you know, bring in smell and touch. You know, it's all part of consumption. And, you know, the way things are, programs like this are very much needed because we must consume good things in order to be healthy. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, we deteriorate and become decadent. And that's what's happening right now in the community. We see this looming decadence. However, it hasn't affected everyone. You know, it is only affected maybe on the outer surface, this type of decadence, this mass materialism, you know. But, you know, as long as there are people like you and I and your listeners, and shout out to people like my man Impact, who hosts over at Shades of Africa, and Shy But Fly, and, you know, my man Jeremiah Rossborough, and several others, people like D. Andrews, and, you know, the 100 Black Men, and just different people in Long Beach who they're pushing it forward, trying to make things happen in the community. And that right there is what we desperately need to happen. But this being Women's History Month coming in, since for some reason it's crazy, it seemed like Black History Month was a sneeze for some reason this year. I don't know what happened, but, you know, it just shows the climate we're in. But This being Women's History Month, I'd like to recite a poem with you all. And this poem is about one of the issues that affect us in the community that often goes overlooked or is hidden, is something that people hide because they're ashamed to talk about it. And some people are just scared. And that issue is domestic violence. A lot of times we have situations where right next door there are people who are affected by this and we don't even know, we don't pay attention. And sometimes as men, we tend to think that when a woman has some angst in her attitude, we believe that maybe she's stuck up, right, or something else. But we don't know what she's been through. So this poem is called She's Single.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
She had a little gangster in her, and I could see it. Her swag evident when she spoke. The girl was no joke, serious as a child's first heartbeat, but incomplete she was. Who knows what issues she left at home. Obvious she was on her own, wanted to brighten up her day, but I couldn't see the windows to her soul. She was cold, 30 degrees in California. No wonder she's single. So many years she been numb. Her nose bleeds cocaine lines. Needed a man but lived with a monster. Problem was she loved dramas and scary movies. Plus she had fantasies of bad boys. Thought she was a bad girl since she was 8. And her cars never looked so great. So she deserved it. She called it a gambler's curse. Realizing that her life was a gamble since birth, after all, there was never a day that heroin didn't stream through her veins. So, fuck it was her motto. Even when he touched her, she was limp. Beneath spoiled sheets, she'd been down. He been down 15 years. She'd been down 15 years. I said, he been down 15 years, and still she never cheats. Still feeling the stinging pain of knuckles mashing face in the morning. Too tired to make breakfast. Too bloody to go to work the next day. She's single because it's easier that way. It's easier to tell her children they daddy gone without having to explain the man she's bringing home. She often stares at toothpaste blotches. Her mind won't allow her to see beyond the bloodstains. She's single because love is a battleship that she could never navigate. There was nothing and no one that could guide her. She didn't want to be guided. She prided herself on the fact that she had a high tolerance for pain. Why bother healing? Hardship was her character. After all, not an honest man would marry her, so she hated everyone that tried. Somewhere her heart died and resentment lies beneath her sheets. So incomplete, she was. Single. My sister, though.
Wow. Everybody, that's Mr. Urban Voodoo. He shared that on my, my friend over here. We have Stephanie that's in the house. She's here with me at my house. You know, some people come in and they sit in, then people call in, and then people text, you know, when they want to be anonymous, because I'm better than the police when it comes to that. I won't tell.
Right.
When you shared that with me, I thought that was you're amazing, and you know, and I knew you. My girl Stephanie here, she was I'd say about maybe the second month of me doing the show on my own. She had came in. I had an episode on July 31st, and it was in recognition of my childhood friend that I grew up with, Sybil. She was beaten and brutally beaten, raped and murdered, and so I had to bring that show, and it was domestic. It was actually Women in Violence, a deadly cocktail, and that show archived 1870 archived listens. That was number 2 of my best shows. My best show was what we as women should know, and that archived, I checked today, is still growing, 4,422. And that was where my brother the bishop spoke about his ways, you know, what men think. And see, this show ranges from all social issues. And what's close to my heart, too, you know, I took a domestic violence 260 with Mrs. Stempelli. Much love to her out there. I did touch her today, too. All my professors out there, too. They enlightened me. So I think Stephanie wanted to say something to you, because when you touched on domestic violence, she had just left from it. So I think she was to say hi. So say hi. Hold on.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
Hello. Hey, how you doing, Stephanie? How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed all day long.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Indeed. Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you also. That touched me with the utmost. Being a domestic violence victim myself, I relate to some of the things that you just said. And things that you had addressed just a moment ago in your poem was real enlightening. Been there, done that, was that, and with a short pace, I am still that, but within myself, but I'm growing, and I know better now.
Right, right.
I know there's a lot of things that I didn't know about that, but I was a part of that. But I can say now that I'm no longer that person that I used to be. I no longer stay just because. I was there just because.
Yes, ma'am.
I was a part of that domestic violence circle. And it is a circle for all you women that's out there listening.
Yes, ma'am.
And I appreciate you and everything that you said and everything that you brought to us today. I want to tell you that.
Give thanks.
My black brother, I love you. Stay strong.
I appreciate you. You know, a lot of this is about healing and teaching at the same time. We are to be students of life, but also teachers of life. And, you know, when we share our experiences or we share the experiences of others, we're able to create a situation where people can heal. And that's what it's all about, especially with an issue like that. You know, and I try to tell young brothers what they don't realize is that a long time ago, that's taken a case of a great sister, Fannie Lou Hamer. Fannie Lou Hamer was a woman who was fighting for the right for blacks to vote. And, I mean, this woman took beatings. She went to prison. I mean, well, not to prison, but, to, you know, to jail. They grabbed her and arrested her or whatever. All sorts of hardships. And this was an established system that was putting our sisters through this. And what's sad is that today our young brothers and older brothers are like the wardens of that same prison putting our sisters through this. So we want to try to heal by telling their story and by being vocal about the issue so that maybe some young sister can see it about to happen, you know.
And on that note, brother, there are a lot of women that are going through this that a lot of people don't know about, the outer cover, the mask, as I should say.
Right. The veil.
Yes, the veil. Because during this process that I was going through this, I was working, trying to go to work, as you said, trying not to go to work to cover up what I was being abused for is for going to work. Trying to establish myself, get myself out there, make myself better. He didn't like it. He didn't understand it because I was triumphing over something that he was trying to control. And that was something that, as a woman being brought up by a church-going woman, myself, I allowed that to happen. But for those of you who don't know, speak out. Let it be known because this is something that's real. You know, but once again, I thank you, brother, for bringing this up.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to express myself.
And I love your poem again.
Thank you. You know, I have I can actually be found on Facebook if anybody's interested. I always post notes within my notes section. I have at least 100 and some odd poems or more. I'm also Googleable, either by my stage name, Urban Voodoo, or you can search me by my actual name, Michaux Fortson, MichaeuxFortson. I'm Googleable. Google me if you'd like to see some of the things that I've done in Long Beach. And if you got an opportunity next Friday, check us out at the Anointed Diva Boutique. Show starts at 8 p.m. There's a modest $8 donation asked at the door, and it's going to be a great night of poetry and healing. It's also a Christian boutique. She has wonderful clothing and apparel and accessories and whatnot for the ladies and gentlemen. Nice shirts. You might want to check them out. And they're open during the week. She also does taxes, and the tax office is right on the other side of the Anointed Diva. So you want to definitely check it out, support the community, yeah. You know, black-owned businesses. And that address is 801 East Artesia Boulevard, Long Beach, California, 90805. That's for that GPS, even though sometimes we get it wrong, huh? But, yeah, it's definitely a wonderful thing to be able to share, and I hope we can always each one teach one and put that pay that forward. You know, our ancestors called it Sankofa.
Take us to school. Take us to school. Well, you know, I'm just sitting here. I'm just learning. So take us to school.
Yes, ma'am.
Take us to school. Yeah. I'm very... I do have my guest who's out there. I want you guys to, we're going to go ahead and tap in with them, and I want you guys to give him a warm welcome. He, like you, is very multi-talented. He's a UNLV representative for Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada, UNLV student there. Yes, he's a great guy. I've known him, when I met him, I just met him years ago. He is an inspiration to me, and he taught me a lot, too. I learned a lot of things from him. So, and his name is Junie, Mr. Junie George. He's the third, like a Thomas White out there. Shout out there to Thomas as well. I have a lot of authors and a lot of, you know, creative people, and you guys inspire me. We're going to go ahead and touch and say hi to Junie, and I'm going to introduce you as well, because he's powerful. Powerful and young too, you know. I mean, young men. You guys are young men. You guys are really on your game. So let's say hi. Let's say hi, everybody. So we got Stephanie, we got you, Urban, and let's say hi to Jenny. Let's get him in. This will be his first time on the show. So let's say hi. Hello, hi. Welcome to Genius Group Theory.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm blessed. Hey, Jenny. How are you doing? That's Urban.
So far,
how you doing, Junie? Nice to meet you, brother.
Oh, nice to meet you, my brother. Things all right.
Sir.
So what it is?
Oh, man. It's all about building, brother. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yes, sir.
When I met Junie, actually, it was when I was embarking. It was me and the kids were kids. You know, it just came to me. When we were embarking on our first steps, when I lost my job, I lost my mom. A year later, I lost my home. And when I met Junie, that was the second state that we went to. And in the period of 3 years, we moved 50-plus different places in two different states, constant on the move. Junie was one of the nice people that I got to meet during that time, and I got to see through his struggle. He's a real great guy. Junie, you know what, I don't know if I ever told you thank you for, you know, just the impact that you did, because during the time when I met you, I really didn't even know what to expect. I was just fresh, you know.
Right.
You know, I mean, everybody said, come here, do this and do that. And you know, it was a rough time. And I had never dealt with that ever in my life. And, you know, living out there in Vegas for the short time we were there, dealing with the attorneys and all that, it was a struggle. But you made things a lot easier. But then I saw, you know, you, just like Cherokee, when I see that you guys have taken a lot of crap, and
right.
Talking to Urban today, too, as well. You know, I don't feel so bad. You know, I mean, they towed my car, they carried me through some extra, but I don't really feel bad at all about it. It's like, you know what? You know, if you want to bring it, bring it. You know, that's not going to stop me from doing what I'm going to do.
Right,
and, you
right.
know, these men upstairs can do that. So you guys are also an inspiration. I'm a girl, so, you know, you got to give me a little bit of something.
Being a girl, it doesn't matter. You know, you just have to have a heart. You have to have a spirit to actually carry on, you know, because a lot of times, we get hit with a lot of obstacles that we have no control over, but the matter is just holding on to your faith and praying about it. And the Most High, He definitely will give you the strength to get through it, you know, because a lot of His prophets and a lot of His servants didn't have it easy either, but they did have one thing. They had the Heavenly Father to cling on to, and He gave them the strength to get through their struggles and trials and tribulations and their challenges. So the same thing applies today. You know, just as long as you continue to hold on to the Heavenly Father, He's going to see you through your trials and tribulations. He didn't say it was going to be easy, but He did give you the tools that you needed to get through it, you know. Because basically when a challenge is like an obstacle course, you know, you got to have rules and regulations on how to get through them. He's going to give you the tools you need to get through these obstacles. You can do one or two choices. You can use the right tools or the wrong tools, you know. And to do the job right, you got to have the right tools, right? So the right tools is prayer, patience. That makes sense? Anyone still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I just had myself on mute. Y'all hear me?
Yeah, I got you, brother.
I don't know if the sister's still there, though.
Yeah, I can't hear.
Oh, can you hear me? Hello? Sorry about that.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
I'm sorry about that. I'm still here. I didn't turn my mic on, but it's all good. A lot of people put the word spiritual on religious, you know. I know Junie is, you know, I mean, he showed me a lot. He showed me a lot. And I guess it's kind of like not to be bitter about things. When mm-hmm. you know, after he meet me, after you meeting us, me and the kids and Monique, and us coming out there and that battle we dealt with when we got there with my sister-in-law, it was like a when it was a situation that you went through that I had to say, wow, you know, I didn't know how you could you know, I saw you go down up quickly. I mean, we weren't there but maybe 3 weeks maybe at the tops, and I saw you struggling with trying to help folks, and you know, you had gave a lot to everybody, and
right.
it was like. You were like, I don't have it anymore. And you know, that was such, it runs across my mind every so often. You know, how you sat there and then you still didn't stop doing what you were doing after, you know, anybody else would probably been disappointed. I got a little disappointed after so many years with me and the kids being on the street and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And it took Stephanie, the one who's here with me now, to tell me to come out here to Long Beach where there's services. The young lady
right.
I met last night with her daughter, you know, she said, she made mention that she had told the police that, you know, they said that she didn't get into a, you know, in L.A., I let her know there was nothing I could do for her there because I have no connections there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just have connections here. And then our main connection out here at Cherokee is now, you know, early retired wrongfully also as well. I see people go through, it's like, well, I see people go through traumas, but I still see them holding up and standing tall. So, you know, I commend you both for being here.
Mm-hmm.
Representing this has been a whole month since I've been on, but I wanted to bring it, and I mean, with you guys being here, it's just a blessing. Thank you.
Right, you're very welcome.
Junie's a writer as well, a creator as well.
Mm-hmm.
What you got going on for today in the Long Beach? Just out of curiosity.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, you're in Vegas. Well, you got something going on?
Oh,
so,
definitely. I'll be tonight in Long Beach. I plan to hook up with Ill Collective over at the Jazz Lounge over connected to Roscoe's on. I think that's 5th? 5th and, 5th and
oh.
Alamitos, I think that is. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's Broadway? Are you talking about across the next door?
Oh, Broadway. Yeah, on Broadway. That's it.
What
yeah.
time is that?
Yeah, so that's the plan, is to be out there. They get down about 9:00, so I'll be in the house, maybe do a couple pieces with them. But that's what's going on in Long Beach today. Today kind of laid back. It's one of them laid back, kick back, and catch up on the things you didn't do during the week. You know what I mean? But this evening, we're going to have us a good time.
That sounds great. So what, 9:00 for you, 9:00 for Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles next door?
Yes,
I might show up. You know,
Junie
was supposed to be here at 4, but, you know, for some reason I couldn't call out of my studio, so he had to call in. And it was more so, he's out in Vegas. I've been asking him questions, and, you know, the situation with financial aid, you know as well as I know, we've been having financial aid. This is the one thing that the president did do that was beneficial, that it is really standing, you know, true here, is that the education funding is going to be there. Junie explained to me in Vegas that he had to give up school for a while because Vegas didn't have any funding from the financial aid. I found that kind of funny because that was statewide. that he gave the money for education. And so it was, but it's like, what? Vegas didn't have it. And so I got into asking questions. And, you know, Junie's going to bring it to us from the Nevada point of view. I know murder is on the rise up there. And I heard a little bit about what's going on, the Tupac killing up there. And it's getting kind of tight up there and it's getting kind of crowded, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Didn't a brother get killed, a rapper?
Yeah, just recently at the Strip. What happened was there was an argument between two gentlemen over a woman. And what happened was it spilled onto a shootout on the Strip. One of the gentlemen was killed, and they caught the man that did this. He's in custody right now as we speak.
Wow.
Being held on trial for murder.
Were they from Vegas or they were from out of town?
If I'm not mistaken, I think they weren't from here at all, period. I think it was somebody that just came out here to, I guess, have fun or have some good time or something, and then he got into an altercation with another gentleman, and next thing you know, it was a shootout on the Strip.
You know what that says? That's two losses. Two.
Yes.
Right.
Over foolishness.
Right.
You guys need to represent and let the guys out there know, both of you guys, from your angle.
Mm-hmm.
Seriousness. Once I got the phone with Urban, I talked to Junie about sort of the same thing. I'm trying to fill everybody in on what's going on. This is a real serious issue. You know, the boys, I had wrote about the community and the guns and violence. I asked the boys, I said, hey, you think everybody's in jail? Because, and I find it's good that we talk to our young people like this. Now, my son is 24.
Mm-hmm.
Edward is 24. And then the littlest one was 19. And I asked him, I said, do you think that because got to give a shout-out there to Blair from Impact Radio. That's where I'm supposed to be sliding over to. I'm still staying with Blog Talk as long as I can because you guys know my deal. But it's like I asked him, I said, do you think everybody's in jail because they did something wrong, that they committed a crime? And I kind of got if you guys saw what I posted, it was kind of like maybe, you know, they didn't really know. So I'm like, no, you know, everybody that's in jail, men and women. There's the Mississippi people that went to jail behind that cop who turned cop or whatever and locked him up. I don't even know if they're out. So there's a lot of people in there wrongfully accused. So not to say I didn't do it, because, of course, everybody knows, even in the cartoons and the movies, the criminal always says, I didn't do it. But the case is there are a lot of people that are serving time for things they didn't do. Okay? And there's a lot of people that are sitting on death row for things that they did do. Where do we make the distinction between the two? So when I asked the kids the question, I got the response. Then I had to break it down to them. One, the youngest one knew that Florida has the most prisons in the total out of all the other states combined. It has the most prisons in that one state. You know, I started probing them and asking them, because really, our young people need to know this. It was something that Urban had said about the kids at school did not getting involved in Black History Month. Let me tell you what a friend dropped on me last night. He said, why is it that February is Black History Month anyway? I'm like, I never paid attention. He's like, how many days? Or I was like, okay. Then he put the two. I'm like, well, so who chose February as the month of Black History Month? Because what, Martin Luther King was January, right? So who did come with February? You guys got any history with that?
Not really sure. I'm not really sure about that. I believe that the brother who wrote The Miseducation of the Negro. I think he was the one who came. I think it's Henry Clark. I think it's Dr. Clark. I know it's Dr. Clark. I just can't think of the first name. For some reason, it slipped my mind. But I believe that brother was instrumental in getting us to have a Black History Month in itself. Now, why it's February and who chose February, at that time I would seriously doubt that anyone actually chose February. Rather, I think it was more of that was what they made available to them. I don't know. But just the whole fallacy of all of these particular months to be put aside as if we're not supposed to, like you have a conversation with white folks during I do use the word white folks, because those who think W-H-I-T-E,
right.
susceptible to privilege. So, you know, I consider us all Americans. However, because they have these words, white and black, it becomes a class issue. But particularly, the whole idea that when you have a conversation and you mention slavery or, you know, wrongdoings, it's always this thing about, like, oh, why are you guys always talking about it? Haven't you gotten over it yet? Kind of sentiment, you know. Even here in the media, like, you know, and then these cold words that are used, words like entitlement, you know. In fact, I believe the Supreme Court justice recently had a statement he made where you know, they're trying their best not to let something go through because of the idea of it being an entitlement. Places like Mississippi just recently ratifying something that the nation knows to be a just law, you know, considering the voting rights thing. It's like crazy that we're in 2013 and these codes and things are still being used. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's in February for 28 days on purpose. I wouldn't.
Yeah, huh? What you think about that, Junie? 28 days?
I can't agree more because, you know, sometimes that, as a people, we've always been given what's left over. Just like during slavery, when the masters and their families ate, they gave us the scraps, right? But then what we did with those leftovers, we turned it into a delicacy, what you call soul food now today. It's like they give us leftovers.
Right. And they travel far and wide to come and get some real soul food.
Yeah. You know, and then that's something that it's hard for them to accept, that no matter what they put us through, that we've always persevered through it. We've always found a way to overcome those racial barriers. I mean, we still got a long way to go as a people, but we've come so far, and yet we still have so far to go as a people. The problem now is that we got to eliminate the self-hatred that we have within ourselves, because a lot of the things that was done to our forefathers and ancestors during slavery is still affecting us now. And even in 2013, we still have blacks against blacks. We still got blacks hating on each other. We still got blacks who are in power who will not contribute to their community at all. And that needs to stop. If we're going to excel to the higher level, if we're going to actually be able to match wits with those who are in power, then we have to pull together as a nation, not just on an individual basis, but as a group. You know, because they say there's strength in numbers. And without those numbers, you know, we can only do so much on an individual basis.
Yes, that's right.
But then the key is you have to surround yourself with people that have the exact same ideas that you do, have the same goals, the same thought process, like, for example, Malcolm X or Martin Luther King had for us. And we have to put those actions into play, because we can talk about solutions to our problems all day long, and they can come up with some great solutions, but when you don't put those solutions to work, what good is that?
Right.
It's just a fairy tale. It's a farce. It's a farce. And both of what you both said, This is the deal with this, you know. Mostly everybody, you guys, Junie, you've been knowing me for years when you first met me, when I first embarked on, you know. And Urban is learning about me and just in talking, and he reads my work and he likes my work. He supports. And I write a lot, in which that's what we all do. We all, as artists, writers, we write about the things that paint us. See, I didn't have that. I didn't have that old, you know, mask got me down, I got a tree on my back, and, you know, oh, don't, beloved, and all that extra. See, I didn't have that. I wasn't brought up with that. I was brought up in a very affluent, woman-dominated family. Well, it was me, and until, you know, they shot at them and got rid of them. No, I'm just kidding. Well, like the white man said, like the white guy had said on the 28th when he called in, he was a riot. He sounded just like, what's his name, Shock Jock, Howard Stern. He says, I don't know why your men hit it and quit it. I was like, wow, you know. You guys got to check that episode out, because the things he said, you know, you got to have. See, in the beginning when I started getting calls like that from, you know, because we're not going to, it's nothing about race, but you're always going to have someone. You know, one of the guys that called me on, what, was it the 28th, and he told me he was picking cotton, and I was like, so how's that cotton picking going on? And he's like, you know, he's up after, you know, I talked back to him. Yeah, no disrespect, because I never disrespect anybody. I don't allow anybody to be disrespected for at all. And during talking, you know, he ends up saying to me, you know, are you retarded? I'm like, no, I'm not retarded. I'm not the one who called your show talking about you picking cotton. You know, who's the retarded one?
bottom line, it's like on those shows, you know, of course, I get, you know, I don't ever hang up on them or anything. Some of them have become, you know, pretty cool. They call, I mean, two especially. I haven't talked to them in quite a while. They're in Texas. They call in and they shoot their, you know, what their myths and their stereotypes. And I just tell them what the real truth is. Just like I told the guy on the 28. I have much love for everybody, and I want us all. See, it's not going to be a black, white, Mexican, you know, brown, yellow. It's not going to be a thing like that. It's a rich or poor thing. And let me tell you, just like Long Beach does before the Grand Prix, 2 weeks all year from the last day of the Grand Prix until 2 weeks to the next Grand Prix, they give out tickets to the homeless. You guys know I'm out on the riverbeds with those high heel, 6-inch high heel shoes. Now, you know, I walk better on the riverbed rocks than I walk on the flat ground.
Right.
You know, I got to get to my people, so I got to take them some sack lunches and give them some hope. And it's just like my mentor said, that sack lunch might have a sandwich, a fruit, a cookie, and a bag of potato chips in it, but what it really represents is hope. What we all represent together is hope. You know, I mean, what some of my, well, you know, friends out there, let's say Caucasian friends, because, yeah, the word white, like, it's kind of like it's a little yanger, but everybody knows. If you know someone's heart, you already know where they are. They've been telling me, you know, they've been, you know, encouraging me to speak to my people of my color, you know, which they really, I'm a mix of different colors, which I think we all are. So, you know, Native Americans, I really don't know which one they're talking about. Are they talking about the Native American or are they talking about the Bahamians? I don't really know. But they want me to bring, the way they put it is that, you know, black America, let's say black America, we say black people, have allowed for, like you guys said, our leaders who are supposed to be representing, and our politicians lead us. Now, see, this is not me, but to lead us to believe that we need them. We can't do anything without the politician and the leader. I think in a sense, when he, you know, and then Mr. Davis, great guy, him and Mr. Wuko from FM or AM 970 Miami, they're great guys. They touch me, they give me some encouragement, but then Allison say, here, study this, do that. Just like Renee, here, study this, do that. You know, and it's like, okay, and I feel them. They have the genuine, you know, concern to, you know, that we not be on the pity pot. And you know, really, I wasn't brought up with the pity pot. I mean, I'm a gangster from way back, you know. I mean, I might have went to Catholic school all my life or whatever the case may be. But the case is, you know, I'm a gangster when it comes. I don't stand down to, you know, for too much of nothing. And, you know, if you, huh?
Oh, no, I don't want to cut you off. I was.
No, go ahead.
Well, you know, we have a situation, you know, and we look at, we have a situation where we don't want to know history. So many people don't want to look back. But, you know, in the beginning times of slavery, even before even getting on the boat, there was always that big man of the village, that big man who was able to oversee everybody in the village, you know. And then that was the man who, when the Caucasian came on the ship, who they talked to the big man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first they gave the big man some trinkets. He took them. They gave the big man a couple books and just different things. He took them. Gave the big man some women. He took them. Mm-hmm. Then they started asking for things. Mm-hmm. And when they started asking for things, they weren't asking for just the same quality of things that they gave. They were asking for gold, diamond, and then finally people. Well, we're still in the situation of the big man. They give the big man the power, the overseer during slavery, who he didn't have to do all the work. All he had to do was ride back and forth on a horse and get out and kick whoever ass who might have slipped up and got lazy on the job. He was the one making people wives give in. This guy, he was the one who would kill another brother because master say so. And right now there are people that are supposedly leading us who represent the big man or the overseer. Mm-hmm. They're only there, like this guy Clarence Thomas. They're only there to give credence to what the elite Caucasian says. So if the idea and the stereotype is that we're lazy, well, these guys are going to agree. And at the same time say, I'm not like them over there. You know what I'm saying? They ain't really my people.
Mm-hmm.
We have to come to a situation where we can step to them eye to eye economically, socially, spiritually, And if we're going to leave the other one alone because they get scared when they hear about actually standing up for yourself physically.
Mm-hmm.
However, we're in a situation where we come to them in need. We come to them as kind of like they treat us like children.
Mm-hmm.
We come to them not able to say, I have this conglomerate of people, or I have this constituency of folks. You know, we don't come as a solid block, and that's the problem. As long as they can look down their nose at our situation because we beg them, or we beg of them, or we need to, I don't know, but we could do a whole lot of good within our community. You know, you could put a few dollars together and buy your own gasoline line if gas is killing us so bad. Look at Valero. Yeah, it might be but this is some kind of collusion. Look at the NAFTA, the trade situation, that's North Atlantic trade and all of that crap. Look at that. Now when you go in stores, you look for Doritos and you find Doritos with Tampico.
Yeah.
You see, I mean, we're not Tampico. What's the name? Tapatio.
Tapatio. Tapatio.
Tikis or whatever those chips are now. You see,
chili cheese. And you know what? What is the new chip that I saw the other day? It's called chicken and waffles.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, see, but I'm saying even deeper than that. You see stuff that's straight up import
chicken
from Brisoles. You know, you see stuff like Saucitos that aren't made by Nabisco. They're not made by Frito-Lay. They're not made by any of the major companies in America. Instead, some of them are actually coming from Mexico. Some stuff that we have in stores to this day are coming from Mexico. And I say to myself, like, wow, who do we import and export with?
Nobody. You're right. They're taking everything to cheap. Okay, I guess you know my friends out there. When you guys say, because someone touched me and said about, you know, we had this discussion. My friend Jay in New York, he is a revolutionary. He is Malcolm X of 2013. So you know, he posts things on my Facebook, and I don't really pay attention. You know what I mean? I pay attention, I read it, but you know, I give him things. I give him, you know, I told you guys about the DVD. I've even spoke on it about how serious it is. And I saw it before I even seen the DVD. So, you know, I touch on things. And so he touched me with a picture. And Hotep is my good friend. What he put on it was, you know, the backers of, you know, the whole Obama and whatever. And what my Caucasian friend, you know, because, well, we just say Mr. Wuko, because Caucasian might think, Mr. Wuko didn't notice, because he was like, well, he didn't say, where is Obama on the list of, it was the queen, it was all of the circle. And it was he's like, well, where's Obama? And so it angered some folks. And then when he touched me, I thought maybe, you know, he thought, you know, see, I when I first started dealing with Jay, I call him Jay Hotep. When I first, I thought he was anti-Christ. I thought he was, because, you know, when you say something about God, I mean, he's like, he's on it. He's like, you know, the prayer is not what the people need. You know, he's like that, right? So I'm like thinking he just didn't like it. But it took me some time to see, we have to listen and understand people and understand their vibe. I would have been thinking he was the anti-Christ, he's the anti-everything, he's anti-white. I would have thought he didn't like white people. The case is, he has more white people on his friends are mostly white. He's a very talented brother, but he had an angle like this. No matter what I said, even though I thought he was combating it, he had the approach that, it boiled down to this. There are people, my way is, okay, prayer, having faith, and things like that. That's how I live. God, $10. You guys know. And his approach seems a little rough, a little Malcolm X. But what I learned is that there are people that my way I can't touch. They can't understand hope. They don't understand. See, it wasn't that he was anti anything. He talks to the people that I can't reach, and those are the people who have never saw hope. When you have, you know, like my friends out there, like, well, you know, don't be on a pity pot and, you know, you don't cry. See, those people that I guess that are crying, because I had to say, Shelley had mentioned, she was like, well, what do we do? I'm like, you know, we go beg. I ain't beg nobody for nothing. My family never begged nobody for nothing. I came from a strong, hey, my nanny, she co-founded Local 399. My mom was a Teamster 952. She came in right after Kennedy, when he opened up the door, she walked right on in as the only black woman. So I got nothing positive, strong women. So I don't have that, oh, whoa, 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 it's me kind of thing. I guess the people who do, it's not that they really are crying. They just don't have hope. What I learned is you can't tell somebody, have faith. Have faith. If they never heard it, they don't even know who God is, let alone have faith. Have faith in what? Have faith in what you don't see, because I don't see shit. Or have faith in who? I mean, what is here for them to have faith? So he touches the people who don't understand my way of doing things. So, they don't understand. They never had it. See, if you never had anybody to tell you that it's another, if all you did was live in, say, the inner city in poor, how are you going to see any hope? How you see a ray of hope? We had to go down. In order to feed our people out there under the riverbeds and in the behind the trash cans and the dark holes and places that you would think people wouldn't be, we had to crawl up in there to get in there to them.
Right.
So, being that we had to crawl up in there, that's just like the people that he talks to. Even though he doesn't have to crawl to them, he has to talk to them as though where they understand. Bottom line is, okay, you don't understand what faith is. You don't know what hope is because you ain't never seen it. So what you need to do is get up, get cracking, and he talks to them that way. Nothing personal. It took me a while to get it. And then I realized that, okay, his way has to be that way. He has to come with his way because there are going to be a lot of people I can't touch. There are going to be a lot of people that person's not going to touch. It takes everybody's. And like they said, nobody at this time in my life, like I had to tell the guy, I don't even know anybody on welfare. And like I said, as far as I'm concerned, is welfare still cracking? I thought it was workfare. What happened? I ain't seen no food stamps or none of that. I ain't even heard about the EBT. So the case is, I don't know. I was brought up in upper middle class. And like I said, hey, when I see, a couple of white guys walking across the street, one, and I'm over across the street, I cross the street too, I lock my door too, all that same thing. It's no different. It's no color that separates the fact that you'll do some crime.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has the color of I'm a rapist, I'm a murderer. Because if that's the case, then the Grim Reaper wouldn't have been cutting up. They'd have seen him coming when they was taking a pull. Keeping it 100. Right? See, you got to be able to be aware. So if you don't know, you really don't know. Like I was saying to you about our students up there that didn't do anything for Black history. See, it ain't that they didn't. It's not that they didn't care. It's not that they didn't acknowledge. Nobody, just like what you said, who's mentioning anything? Everybody's too busy doing their own thing. Who's going to take time to step back and say, what is Black history? Let's do something. We only got 28 days. Better make it quick. Nobody's saying, nobody's introducing. Everybody got other issues. They got financial aid dealing with. They called it. That financial aid office, they deal with other things. They're not paying attention. February is right after spring starts. So, come on. Who really, when they're trying to get their financial aid, their direct loans, all that extra, they calling Hire One. You know what I'm talking about. Urban. They're trying to get down with the get down around this time. Oh, 28 days, it goes fast. It was like February 1st just yesterday.
Yeah.
Ooh, here it is. What, it's March already, right? So it wasn't that they forgot. We have to keep reminding ourselves. Like sometimes I have to remind myself to keep with faith. I have to tell myself, wait a minute, God got it. It's easy for us to lose it, right? So if you never had it, how could you get it? That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So we got to give our people out there a lot of depth for that. It's not on them. It's just like the history books. Nobody told you what really was in a history book. They told you what they wanted you to know.
Of course. That's where it begins. Knowledge of who you are, that's the perfect opportunity to tell you this is who you are. But see, they're not going to tell you this is going to be our story of them, not their true story. See, our history is told by them all the time. They're going to tell people what they think of us instead of us saying, we have our history. We have our true history. We're going to tell our stories the way they should be told, the right way, not the white way. You know what I'm saying?
And in other words, I say that.
Right. I feel you on that. In fact, we got to stop being scared to tell our children on a more of a
elevated level, because when you trip off of Caucasian children, especially those, and I hate to even have to use these terms, man. It just makes me so upset that you can't just say, people from this side of town or that side of town, you know, we're all American, this type of California. But, no, we are all separated by words.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. But one of the things that amazes me is that when we're dealing with folk, right, we have to like always apologize for each other. You know, we got, that's like they calling Obama an apologist. He's always apologizing. They use these words and we let them. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I think we're always trying to be business. I don't think you have to be like that.
I think my
myself. I was definitely like
that. We don't have to make up, you know, like I told Shelley. She was like, well, we need to retrain ourselves. Listen here. We ain't got to do none of that. Because by the time we're reprogramming ourselves and learning how to speak correctly to whose standard, you know what? It will be a loss. We're going to be just like the polar bears. Everybody poor. Like I said, I see how they do the homeless. Look, Lee, you did. I might not be homeless today, chronically homeless today, but I can see it coming back into my life very easily just by the stroke of somebody's pen.
That's the crazy part. The whole nation is just about in a state of disrepair, on the verge of being homeless. People who had good jobs are now losing jobs. Like, I got a friend of mine, coworker. She's getting laid off just because. And while you know, the administrators and higher ups are making six figures, it's just crazy. But you know, I had lost my train of thought. What I was gonna say is that we shouldn't be afraid to talk. Like, I talk to my kids like little people, because little Johnny's dad is talking to him about the stock market, you know, talking to him about investments and how he gets annuities and all of these different things. He's talking to him about how you can, you know, tell certain types of people, you know, whether it's skin tone or language. He's teaching them so many different things that our kids, they, like, get to a certain age and it's like it's a surprise. You know what I'm saying? Who they up against.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of the school system, you know what I'm saying? And so we have to, like, start, you know, reading us some Milana Karanga or somebody, you know, and being able to engage our kids in, like, the 6th, 7th grade in a conversation about Timbuktu or Songhay. You know, parents, I see these kids, they talking about the most ridiculous things, and I think that's partly, as a community, it's like all our faults, you know what I'm saying? I'm one of the people to blame, you know, because I don't think that we're all reaching as far as we can, but we can keep on trying. I think it takes each one of us, brother. I really appreciate what you're doing in Las Vegas, because I know it's wild out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's very important to have a presence that's positive and uplifting in a place like Las Vegas. So, too, in Los Angeles, man. It's just a matter of time. We keep pushing like this to start getting them before they get corrupted.
Right.
Because, you know what I'm saying? Because it's hard to reach a kid if we wait until he's 10 years old.
Of course.
You know?
I mean, that's where the best training starts at a young age. They say the best time to teach a child is when they begin to walk.
Right.
You know? And then child begin to learn language at an early age around their parents, you know, because I'm a witness. Because I grew up around my parents, and I picked up words I shouldn't even picked up when I was a kid, you know, like curse words. Because that's evidence right there. You know, the learning experience begins in the home. Now, if the parents aren't up on their P's and Q's as far as educating their kids and homeschooling, like, say, for example, basic common sense, I mean, you can have all the book knowledge, you can have all the academic knowledge, but if you don't have that God-given common sense, all that academic knowledge means nothing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, you know what?
Right.
Like Mr. Pudia said, you got to have, see, IQ is good, but EQ, you need EQ.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
EQ
is emotional quote. Okay, IQ is good because you can scientifically, you know, research and, you know, come down to, but you know what? That's not a human being. It's not a human being. It's a being human. It's not being human. It's a human being. and that's how they treat you. And when it comes to vets and things, you know, they're very crucial. They're very docile. And when we engage them, just like we engage, like I engage, I've learned how to engage them. Me engaging the homeless has taught me how to engage everything from every angle. It has taught me how to have humility and to have forethought. See, as far as our kids, you guys hear some country music going on? You guys hear some country music going on? Wait a minute, is there a Lone Star Cowboy out there somewhere? I want to make mention about the kids. I have been speaking on this particular thing as far as kids. One thing that Mr. Rowan said, Jim Rowan, that's Jim Rowan, R-O-H-N, Jim, Power of Ambition. He said, see, we teach our children, and he's the most unusual character. He says what we should be teaching our children, and this is what they do. I mean, when my kids were growing up, I did tell them about investing. I told them about, you know, he said, if you teach your kids how to go to school, get an education to make wages. He said, wages, you guys got to check this out. He's awesome. He said, wages are what you're going to be working for the rest of your life. Profit mm-hmm. is where we need to teach our kids. Profit.
Wow, that's powerful.
The first 30 cents out of, yeah. See, and I got to tell it, you know, my family was all private school educated, everybody. My nan, she was born in 1912. She went to, you know, University of Louisiana. And, you know, for the life of me, I don't know why they didn't. I don't know why we would get burnt out. I don't even know. To this day, I truly don't understand why they got away with. They lived in a city. They raised chickens. They had a, you know, white doctor for the family, all that extra. I don't know how they escaped. Some people escaped it, but I right there in the middle of Louisiana. I don't understand. If Mississippi was burning next door, I don't know. The case is they made it. They survived. But they also told me education is first and foremost. As long as you got brains, nobody can touch you. When they both died and then the job and how I got treated, man, you know, everything that they had said, no disrespect to my nan or my mom, but they left something out. And I think that's what a lot of people are telling us. We're leaving things out. We're not giving our kids the right tools.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to telling them, go to school to get an education to do what? To do what?
Right.
No, I agree with you. 100%.
You know, we need to give them the tools. Just like our civil rights leaders, our leaders are talking about the L Sharpton. Talking about the L Sharpton. See, we gotta get rid of the old. And you know what? I was looking at a they did a, you know, the dude with Boondocks. I saw the episode of they had the guy, I guess CeeLo Green was playing him, and they had him as a, you know, rallying up, you know, and there was this white lady, blonde lady. And it was kind of funny. I didn't get that until I looked at the DVD that I have, and I put two and three. I said, that's L. Sharpton and L. Was her name Coltrane? You know, clowning on the. I said, oh, so that Boondocks clowned that whole thing, because of course, in the DVD they showed him saying, in the such and such case, and then they show in black with the right writing, nothing happened. Showed it, nothing happened. And then that congresswoman out of, I think it was Cincinnati or one of those back east states, she was speaking on the Trayvon Martin case. She was saying that, yes, and this is one thing that we do, and see, let it not be said, when the news reporter asked her a question, and see, news reporters are they book learn, they're journalists. I mean, they know what to ask, they know when to ask, and they know how to dig in. I mean, like no other. So when the news reporter asked her what was the child's name, when she said, oh yeah, she said, would it be a big difference? You guys hear some country music going on?
Oh, you know what that is? I'm in a room. I'm in a room next to my father, and he done fell asleep on the beginning of his movie. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's good that you got your dad.
My bad. Let me get away from there and close my door.
that's okay. I was just about to do a square dance right now. I'm like, what's going on over here?
Nah, I was going to check on Pops, and he in there and then fell asleep to the beginning of your movie, the main screen.
Uh-huh.
He then fell asleep to the main screen music.
It just keeps rewinding over like Netflix.
Back to the beginning.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good that I looked at the time. Anyways, you guys have never been on the show. when it gets down to the last, I have 2 hours. Show it's 2 hours, but I have a last free hour. So when it gets down to the second hour, I go ahead and I check it out. You guys remain where you are. You remain where you are. I kind of like close it up, but we come back. In this last hour, we're going to touch on some of the things that I talked to both of you guys separate about that are very important. So you guys just stay where you are until the sound goes off. I'm going to go ahead and take it out with my intro. You guys run out here when I play my intro. So I play in my intro on my outro. It's called I Asked Myself. And I heard this song a long time ago. And when I heard it a long time ago and when I ran back across it, I was like, it is the perfect song for me to bring, you know, for me to represent what I am and who I am and how I learned, right? So with that, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and take it out with that. It is now 56 after the hour. You guys make sure you keep your phone charged up. Because if you get knocked off after that second hour, you can't get back in. And I don't know why I couldn't call out to the studio today. I don't know. That's another issue that I will deal with. You know, I take a lot of flack out here. You know, like my friend Brent said, he said, you know what, if you were a man, they'd kill you. You know, I kind of laughed, but I was like, are you serious? Really? He's like, yeah, if you're a man, they'd kill you. I was like, oh, well, thank God I'm not a man. You know, they saved me by the hair of my teeth.
By you being a woman, they may not try to kill you, but they may try to intimidate you to try to stop you from doing what you're doing. But I always say this, you know, don't stop doing what you're doing, because what you're doing is putting a dent in a major problem here in our community. You know, you got people who sit back and do nothing. You got people who sit back and listen but take no action. You know, you got people that talk, but they don't walk. You know, what you're doing is all the above. You talking and you walking. You know, you're not only coming up with solutions, you're also putting those solutions into action. You know, and that's what makes you an inspiration to others as well, because you back up what you say and how you say it. You know, we need more black women like yourself that's actually not afraid to take a stand, that's not afraid to put out there what's right and speak out against what's not right. You know, if we had a lot more sisters out there like you, it would probably be a lot better. Just like we need a lot more brothers out there that's not afraid to take a stand, because there's a saying that if you don't take a stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
But
right
anything.
Now, majority of our community is falling for whatever's been put out there. You know, it's time to take a stand and say, you know what, this is nonsense. This is garbage. You know, all this garbage about thugism and all this garbage about it's okay to have a baby daddy. It's not. You know, you need to have that father, the mother, and children, household. You know, you have to have the head and you have to have the second in command. Without that, you know, family is going to be in disarray, you know.
And that's true. When we come back after the hour, I'm going to go ahead and take it out with Ask Myself. I want you guys to pay attention to it. It is my theme song. It's by Robin Thicke with Mary J. Blige. I'm going to go ahead and play it. When we come back, we're going to touch about the whole subject about our children. The things that are on TV. While we've been sleeping, and things are going on right in front of our faces, in front of our children's eyes, our grandchildren's eyes, that should not be allowed, that are against the law. See, the land of the law tells you what you can do, but it's okay for some. So we're going to go ahead. I'm going to touch you guys with Ask Myself. This is by Robin Thicke with Mary J. Blige. I want to thank everybody out there for listening in. Stay tuned for the last hour so we can get a little laugh. We're going to have a little fun on the last end. Stay where you are. Make sure you guys your phones are charged up. This is Ask Myself. When I got into this human service business, when I was homeless with my kids, and after I've gone through all I've went through and paying it back forward, you know, I had to ask myself what it was that I can do to make a difference in someone else's life, just one. And that's where I got this. I got this cut in it, and it's really, it expresses who I am, you guys. So check it out. This is Ask Myself on Genius Groove Theory, your KXRW, your community connection internet radio station, broadcasting live out of Long Beach, California. Check it out.
Gotta get a birthday, something for me and my family. I gotta make decisions and be somebody. I'm growing up as fast as I can. I gotta make some money. Don't wanna live by that rule.
Getting up today.
Ooh.
Getting up the night. I'ma find my way just to survive.
Something beautiful inside of me.
Oh yeah.
Something wonderful inside of me.
Oh yeah.
Something beautiful inside of me.
Oh yeah.
Something wonderful inside of me. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I got a papa, papa. Live up to the word. Everyone's talking, talking. I gotta be somebody. And for my baby, I'm growing up as fast as I can. I gotta make life better for everyone.
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 Just to survive.
Hi, everybody. You're back with Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 3 after the hour. You're out here with me. Actually, my girlfriend Stephanie is in the house as well. I have my good friend Junie and Urban Hoodoo, multi-talented men out there supporting today, bringing in some good words of wisdom as well. That was Ask Myself, though. As you guys can tell, it kind of represents everything that I feel about myself. You know, I had to ask myself. Before we go back into our last hour, let me do the call letters. This is your KXRW, your community connection, internet radio station, broadcasting here out of Long Beach, California. This is Gina's Groove Theory. I'd like to thank you guys for being here. I'm happy to be back. And I want to touch you guys with this. This is something that we do need. So before we get back into meeting out there with my guys, I had said to someone the other day, said, you need people to follow behind you. I don't know. I was like, well, I don't know anybody. Other than everybody in other states. Everybody represents for me in other states and other places. It's very far and in between out here in Long Beach that I have too many. Ones that I did have, well, you know, it's kind of like you lose one, you gain 100. But you also gain good people. See, like what the guys are saying, we do need people who are about it. And you do have to walk that walk. I'm no angel. I don't proclaim to be. I'm just a person here who's trying to make a difference, who believes that it can be done, and it can be done. There's nothing that's untouchable for anybody. I've done it. A lot of people ask me, like the two people I met last night, they said, well, how did you get away? What did you do? You were homeless. Well, yeah, I was chronically homeless as well. Bottom line is, I did it. Whatever I did, I'll show you. I'll take you there. see, you don't have to have fear to be able to see someone else grow. It's cold and lonely at the top. If you look and pay attention, mostly people who have millions and millions of dollars, they're sad, lonely, they kill themselves. She says, why do they have all that money? See, money can't make you happy. Money won't stop you from killing yourself either. But you know what will help you when you got money? So they say you can't get into heaven. It's hard for a rich man to get into heaven. It's like going through an eye of a needle or something like that. No, let me tell you what Jim Rohn said. You know, he said he'll deal with God when he gets there. He said, as long as you're doing what God's work with that one, it's what you do with the money. It has nothing to do. You're not going to be punished because you're rich. You'll be punished if you're rich and greedy and selfish. There it is. It is now 6 minutes after the hour. I want you guys to pay close attention to this, too. This is Stevie Wonder. What it is that we do need today is we need love. Hate is going around. It's going around in our families. It's being taught in that enculturation. See, when they say, I don't know anything about multiculturalism, is what one of my audience members called and said, I don't know anything about that, but I do know about enculturation. And that means embedding things into children that are not culture. Hip-hop is not culture. Sagging is not culture. None of that is culture. Culture is not what you wear, how you live. Culture is a tradition. It's the founding of your heritage. Nothing to do with singing, laughing, and all the extra. Laughing and what dancing and singing has nothing to do with it. Culture is a much more broader element than what you could ever imagine. So let's go ahead and do a call letter. Let me drop you with, love is in need of love today. Man, it's an awesome cut. It is now 7 after the hour. This is your KXRW, your community connection, internet radio station. Stay tuned. Kicking out here with Jesus Groove Theory. Here is Stevie Wonder with Love is in Need of Love Today. That's what we need, you guys. Keep me posted.
Good morning, evening, friend. Here's your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to tears and pain. It's that love in need of love today. Don't delay, send yours in right away. Hey, going round, waking many hearts. Stop it, please, before it's gone too. Breaking rain.
everybody. That was Stevie Wonder's Love is in Need of Love Today. And if we don't need love, if love don't need love today, I don't know what. So let's go say hi to the guys representing out of Long Beach. This is your KXRW, Genius Groove Theory, your community connection internet radio station. Like I was talking to both the guys, hey, we're back. Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, I thought we were in need of some of that, and that's kind of what we need. You guys share with me, you guys are really, really nice to me. A lot of people just give me so much praise, but like I said, there are so many people out here. Tomorrow's show actually is going to be Mr. David Hanshaw. He's out of Texas, Longview, and he started his children's special project with no funding from the state, federal, or private funding. And it started in 2001, and he's still going strong as he is. He is a 501c3, but he made, I mean, you know what? I think just like these agencies that are third party, and they're becoming Fortune 500 companies, but they're supposed to be helping the homeless and so forth. See, I don't know. See, when you start taking funds from state and federal, you know, governments, city and local, then they can kind of tell you how to regulate things. And I think that's where people get lost. They get lost in the shuffle because you got people who has the money from the state and federal. They're giving it out like it's their money. They're making the choices on who to give it to. It shouldn't be any homeless out there. It shouldn't be nobody hungry. It should be no kids starving. All that extra. You know, like I said, the first what I get, you guys, everybody's rolling with me. I'm not going to be like Hammer. I'm not taking a whole entourage. The case is I'm taking an entourage because we're all working together. Now, we ain't going to be dancing on stage or none of that extra, and I'm not going to be spending money just be having cocktails. The case is doing something positive with our resources. Monies can come into our communities. We have to pay taxes anyway. That's going to be something we're going to be doing to the day we die. People that don't do it, who have money, you guys won't have your money long if you don't pay those taxes. We're going to have to do that anyways. What about putting some money over to the side? I offered up the first $40 to start. Hey, it doesn't have to be my bank. It doesn't have to be in my name. It could be a community bank. It could be something that we can build for all of us. Got to have a little bit of trust, of course. It's hard to trust. Maybe you guys can touch on that subject about what it is that, say today, where are we as far as trusting each other, as far as getting together? Do you guys have any ideas as to what, I mean, I can encourage, we can encourage, I do my best, but how can we encourage them to, you know what I'm saying, deal with, you know, the expectations that somebody might get robbed? Because, you know, that's what people are fearful of, getting involved in things. And I do understand that. What, you guys got any, you know, options that, you know, you guys are both incredible on how you come up with ideas. So one at a time, one of you guys, let us know what it is that we can do.
Okay. I'm going to let you go first, brother.
Shoot. Yes, sir.
I'm going to let you go first, brother.
Oh, you're going to let me go first? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to let you go first.
Well, I would, you know, it brings to mind one of the tenets of a well-written book that I have come across called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. In this book, right, one of the chapters of this book, it has this tenet: begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. So we're beginning a thing. If we're beginning a thing, this is just Franklin Covey. And if you know, the idea is that if we're beginning a thing, if we're already thinking I'm going to get robbed, oh my, you know, it's a slippery slope. Oh, if I help this community, then this community will turn its back on me. Oh, if I stay and live here, they'll rob me. Oh, if we, yeah, that's what you're going to, if you're, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. We have to start thinking about the potential of the good that'll come out of it. Like, I do shows all the time, and sometimes we don't get paid. A lot of times, you know, we're doing it for a community event, or we're doing it for other things, you know. But sometimes getting paid might just mean gas money or being fed. But the point of it all is that we didn't begin thinking, oh, they're only asking me to do this so that they can swindle me. when we think like that, you know, we're never going to get anywhere, because the one person who could lead to that breakthrough that you might need, the one company that could help you advance your ambitions, that one thing, that just like this background check crap, we you know, we as a community have let them slide the background check on us so hard that we got people in the community that cannot get a job. Not just that they haven't found a job, no, just that the door is closed in so many directions that their skills are going to get a job. We got to stop thinking that they're going to rob us and start thinking about ways that they can help us, benefit us. Perhaps if we had more stronger men in the community, even though they might have gone wrong, maybe these kids wouldn't be going wild because they'd have somebody who could relate to them. You know, so my thing is like you said, pay it forward. Paying it forward. If you give or you invest with the idea that you are helping a cause move forward, if nothing else, your conscience says to you, you help this thing get off the ground.
Right.
And that dignity is something that it rubs off on people around you. You know, we have to start feeling a dignity. That's what our grandparents said. They might have been whatever, but they had dignity. And we need to get that back.
Right, right. Makes perfect sense.
Thank you. Thank you. I like that. Like that idea. Yeah, you know what? Before Junie, it's called CBT. I speak to people about it all the time. CBT is, as you know, Urban, and I'm quite sure you know, Junie, CBT, mm-hmm. Cognitive Behavioral Therapy. And mm-hmm. the best one to work with is starting with, you know, other than meditation, other than prayer, and other than, you know, yang ring, you know, that old chatting and all the extra and tapping. There are all kinds of ways that you learn in stress management, as you know, right? You guys know, of easing the first thought that a human has always, for some apparent reason, comes out to be negative. You know how we are. The first thought that runs across your mind, then that negative thought. What the best worked for me is using the CBT technique of taking that, as soon as that negative comes in your head, boom, turn it to the positive. So, like, for instance, what I've learned also, too, what you might see that might be a bad situation, like they towed my car last week, right? They towed my car, right? You know, you look at it like, oh, my God, they towed my car. No, it's like, you know what? There's a reason.
Right.
I bet you, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to get me a new car. When mm-hmm. Long Beach illegally sold my Mazda 626, I was devastated, and they told me it was nothing I could do. But guess what? I was given Black Diamond. I mean, in lieu of a 1994 Mazda 626 with a black hood and burgundy body, in lieu of that they sold, I was replaced with something better. So we have to kind of look at one door closes, another door opens, one bus mm-hmm. pulls off. Now, when we're talking about men and women, right, when we're talking about relationships or we're talking about getting with somebody, you say, well, one bus pulls off, the other one pulls up. That goes with anything. Not just men and women, not just the relationships, in life. When one door closes, another door opens. It is leading you to another direction. This direction I'm going right here with this, because I'm not a politician, but the case is the direction I'm going is a reason. There's a reason and a season for everything, period. Nothing comes without some type of warrant. There is, and there's good in everything, which may seem bad, never is really bad if you look at it in the light of, oh, it's time to change. Change is good.
Right.
Change is one thing that we can do. It's choice. Like as humans, we're the only animal that can make decisions and choices. We are the only ones that, because dogs, cats, and everything, they can't. We can. We can talk. We can speak for ourselves. We can feed ourselves. We can feed each other, too. What we can do for ourselves, we can do for the next person. Doesn't make a difference. Can't keep walking over people. Well, I got to walk with people.
Right.
So I'm sorry, Junie, but go ahead. Give it to my brother.
You're making perfect sense there. One thing that I look at as far as the community get involved in something that's going to benefit it is, first of all, you have to have a heart and a passion for people.
Right.
Okay, that's where it first starts. I mean, your intention should not to be making profit.
Right.
It's not to be selfish and saying, you know, what can I do to this community? How can I benefit from it? No, how can the community benefit from this, you know, including yourself? You know, what will be truly rewarding as payment is seeing the community grow stronger. You're seeing the community grow bigger, better. you know, it's always about being a leader. You know, anybody can get up there and give orders and be boss, but can you be an example? Can you be a light to the people? Can you shine? You know, anybody can give orders, but can you show how it's done? You know, how can you be a trendsetter instead of following someone else's trend? You know, anybody can get up there and follow a trend, but can you be a trendsetter? You know, we already got cats like Reverend Al Sharpton and these guys, you know, they're out there talking and talking, but, you know, are they truly walking the walk? You know, you got to be somebody like Malcolm X. You got to be somebody like Frederick Douglass. Had to be somebody like Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, who actually put their words to action. Like Martin Luther King, put your words to action. You know, want to know why these people were so loved? Because they backed up what they said and how they said it. You know, people admired them and people adored them because they had a heart and a passion for people. They had a heart and a passion for their community. Like Harriet Tubman, she helped the slaves escape. Why? Because she had a heart and a passion for them. Malcolm X had a heart and a passion for his people because he got sick and tired of the oppression. Yeah, he was an ex-convict, but look at how he rose to power. That just goes to show you anybody can change from negative to positive, you know. Look at Martin Luther King. You know, he had not only just black people walking behind him, he had whites walking behind him too. Why? Because those white people saw his vision. They saw what he was trying to achieve. They saw what he was trying to do. He was trying to bring all people together as one human race, as one nation, you know. That's why these people were admired. You know, the only way an activist is going to truly be effective is he has to have a heart and a passion for the people in the community. And in order for a community organization to work, they have to have that same heart and passion for everyone. Not for certain groups of people with money. They have to have a heart and passion for everybody, the poor alike. It has to be on equal level, playing field. It can't be because you got money you get a certain amount of this, or because you're poor you can't get this. No, everybody has to be on the level of equality. That's the only way it's truly going to work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that made
plenty of sense. Did you guys check out the pictures that I used? Speaking of, you know, the white people who, you know, were out there fighting too. There were a lot of white people out there fighting for it. You know, it's amazing that no one seems to touch on that. But and one of the pictures that I posted in this episode was the young white kids, you know, and, you know, supporting, you know, the Panthers and supporting the move. And there were a lot of white lives lost too. You got to look at the whole Megar Evers situation and those young men who, well, you know, I believe it was one black and what, three white. They lost their lives, you know, trying to make a difference because they want to stand up for it. If I have to lose my life for, you know, my cause, you know, I'm pretty much ready. You know, I'm getting touched. There are a lot of people that don't like what I do. But the bottom line is, you know, I look at things like there's no weapon formed against me. Well, you know, I'm a soldier. Soldier all day. I wouldn't say I fight for the, you know, go over and fight, you know, in the Middle East. But for here, on these grounds here, I will fight. There's no problem with me because no weapon formed against me. I do have a shield. I have the shield of righteousness and truth. That's what I wrote with.
If I may add something.
Sure.
See, no one says that there were, you know, no white people that helped. Because true indeed they did. But we're in a situation today that the best way a white person can help is to stand up to her daddy, his uncle, her mom, her cousins, their cousins. It's like, dude, you might come and chill with me. You might even, while chilling with me, suffer some of what I'm suffering. But when you get taken to that family gathering or that business meeting or that bus ride with the guy who just started talking to you because you were white and everybody else on the bus looked different, and he starts and they start going into that shit,
mm-hmm.
You gotta stand up. When you see the police, and you know what, white America, they need to stand up against racial profiling. And a more active way. They can't just talk about Trayvon Martin and then sidestep racial profiling and go into stand your ground. Man, fuck stand your ground. Walk down the street and be black. I'm sorry if you're not supposed to curse. I'm sorry. But walk down the street and be black. We get pulled over for in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
you want to help, you got to start standing up to that. You got to
right.
telling these people in our community. Stop going over there because you know it's cheaper and buying up a big old slum village and selling it to us. Stop letting the banks do the shit they're doing specifically to black people. If you really, really, really ain't with that racial shit, stop mm-hmm. taking part in the privilege. And start standing up against the privilege so that we can all be American and share equally because the deck is stacked and it keeps stacking it right next to the white neighbor who comes to the neighborhood. It's like, dude, no, man, you got to stop your neighbor from doing what he's doing.
Right,
you gotta,
right.
If you make me do it, then I'm going to jail.
Right.
You know,
well.
They're going to throw my mama in jail. They uh-huh. might kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of y'all did it.
Oh, wow. Well, shit.
My take on it.
I you know what? I kind of feel you. I kind of feel you on that. In other words, just like, because you know what? It's not just, stand up when you see someone being abused on the street.
Right.
Stand up when you see someone getting stumped out. Just like the mentally challenged man out in Orange, you know, how they beat him to death. Stand up, you know, I mean, and he was a white mentally ill person. It's like, you know, I think so many people have so much power. Yeah, they beat him to death, and you know, and I hope his family gets justice. Because, see, it's just like we're stigmatized with being black. Well, mentally ill, see, I'm a survivor of mental illness, so I have, well, how many stigmas? I got two. I got me being black, me being a woman, and then me having mental illness. That's three stigmas. We have to put an end to what, you know, quote unquote, what crazy people do. It's not, you know, it can touch anybody. When I'm representing in City Hall from Department of Mental Health, I tell the other side or the neighbors who don't want mentally ill people traveling through there, like my kids, my property value is going to go there, you know, all that extra. I used to be you guys. I used to look and say, oh, they just won't, they don't want to work, they don't, they out here begging, they won't, until I walked off. And had I not would have walked that walk, I've been on the other side with the, you know, with the neighbors who don't want it there. The bottom line is, it can happen to you. Anybody. It doesn't have anything to do with drugs. It has nothing to do with any wrongdoings on your behalf. You can be the star player on your job's team, but you can get that pink slip. And you ain't. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might think, I thought I had enough money saved up. I didn't. The bottom line, I had CDs. I had IRAs. I had all that. All of that. When you're fighting a giant, my ex-employer was a giant. They're a billionaire. When you're fighting a giant who has more attorneys than you have, they can hang in there for a long, long time. 6 years into it,
but
I was starving. My
I
kids were hungry.
About that, Miss Gina. Remember David and Goliath?
Yeah.
You know why David took down Goliath? Because he had the power of God behind him. That's bigger than that giant. All he had to do was flick that stone, and he hit that giant Goliath smack dab in the middle of his forehead, and guess what? He went down.
Quick.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. See. Yeah,
so
and
said,
also,
no one talks about my God like that. I'm going to show you that I have the power of God behind me. And he flicked that stone, and guess what? Direct hit right in the middle of Goliath's forehead. Goliath fell like a stone.
Nobody's too big. Nobody's too big.
Nobody.
People, you don't have to be free. You know what? The only thing I do fear, the only person I do fear, when my friend said, you know, you being a girl, when he said, if you were a guy, they kill you. And when he said that, you know, I looked at the reality of, you know, our social networks that, you know, I work on. And I look at I see a lot of things, you guys. I mean, this problem is bigger and greater than I could ever imagine. And like Renee told me to do, she said, bring the stuff that it is that we don't know. We know all about what. See, media manipulates a lot of things. I was on my friend's Mr. Frank Wuko's timeline this morning, and you know he was speaking on it. You know, see, the media has a way of, you know, twisting things around. They make you see what they want you to see. as opposed, like I told you about the little kid, in the beginning of that DVD is a little kid, and it was a shooting, and they cut out everything except the part where he said, when I get big, I'm going to get me a gun. See, on the news, that only showed that part of the segment. But see, there was the reporter was questioning this kid. This kid was like 7 years old. And he was asking him questions like, you know, what are you, you know, and to me, if that had been my kid, and after the segment, a white man comes off and he says, he's the one that speaks about the president. He says, well, you know what, you guys think he's running something? He's not running anything. He's doing the best he can. He is doing what he can with what he got. He's not, right. He ain't, he's just what, you heard of, you know how to play chess. You know, what are the figures that are on the chess? They're pawns. Yep. Even though they're kings and queens, they're still right. All pawns, really, pawns in the game of life. Mm-hmm. Monopoly. Monopoly is what's going on with the car dealers. Monopoly is going on with the whole world. People are worried about Illuminati. You know, while you guys are too much, like I said, all that Atlanta housewives, all of that 16 and pregnant, let's bring this up. You know, I think I talked to both of you about this. Mm-hmm. Now, in this country, speaking of any relation to a young person under the age of 18, that being a woman, young under 18, and anything that has anything to do with sex is supposed to be considered child pornography, period. I work for the world's largest phone virtual company in the world operating with legal operation, pretty much legal prostitution, but, you know, via computer or whatever. It's against the law. You cannot put anyone, 18 and under. At 18, you're an adult. You can show whatever you want to on TV. You can do what you want to, but that's an adult. 16, anything under 18 that has any reference to when it has to do it, that's a child. So let's say we've been sleeping. See, we too busy watching the Housewives of Atlanta, Honey Boo Boo, and all the extra, and all those shows are there, just like the people up in Oakland, the black folks that got that little Ebonics things up. See, we're getting thrown off by all kinds of stuff. It's called Distract the Negro, and you're getting distracted. Bottom line is, 16, a child of 16, a girl of 16 getting pregnant, having a baby on a show, making young men, because there hasn't been any inner-city black children on the show, but it's still a disrespect. Like I told the caller who called in, to me, see, I didn't even think of it at the time I was talking to him, but any reference to 16 in sex is considered pornograph. Sex child, it's kiddie porn. I don't care if they're not physically showing it, but they're showing pregnancy, they're showing baby daddy, baby mama, they're showing go get a, you know, we're going to get into our apartment, we're going to have another baby, we're going to move to the trailer park. You know, and look, that ain't the American dream. Come on, let's keep it 100. No. When they brought up the American dream is not to get pregnant at 16, make a young man a deadbeat dad early. You know, for what? For the entertainment of the money. It's all about the money. We need to get those kind of shows off the air. You know what? Honey Boo Boo, all of that extra, anything that is derogatory, that is negative, that is of no value for our children, and that means all of our children, needs to be taken off the TV. 16 and pregnant, that is child pornography. That somebody needs to say something about that. You cannot put a question. Huh?
You know, if I can, I mean, I understand the idea of taking it off air, but I think it's bigger than that. I think we're in a situation where we need to create our own air, and just that shit don't even be even in our market. Like, for real, we need our own market that doesn't even deal with these folks and what they want to do, because then they run back to free speech. Oh, it's freedom of speech, you know. You can't make me not be able to. The people are consumers. They'll get with. No, it's like, okay, well, then y'all want to do that? All right, then let's take our black dollars and put them over here.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And create our own industry of,
right.
of TV. Helped revolutionize theirs. I had to do a project with my daughter about Sidney Poitier. That brother helped revolutionize cinema.
Yeah.
White folks didn't know how to cast a black dude back in the day. People like Sidney Poitier, brothers like Oscar Michaud,
Harry Belafonte,
people who basically totally revolutionized their way of doing television and filming.
So it's like, yo, why we just don't do it for ourselves?
I mean, I can't agree much more, brother, because, you know, back in the day, you remember the blaxploitation films, right?
Right.
Now, all those brothers and sisters that was portraying these pimps and players and hoes and stuff like that, what they should have been doing, seriously, they should have been putting their money together, and instead of coinciding with Hollywood, they could have built their own movie studios. They could have built their own theaters. You know, so once they got to that position of power, they can start telling our stories the way they should have been told. You
right.
know?
Right.
But
and that brings back the
question
of legacy.
Yeah.
They could have left a legacy. You know what I'm saying? So a young dude 30 years old wouldn't be having to kiss Clear Channel's ass to try to get on as a clerk. You know, or getting paid a non-paid internship, something that could have been prepared for to hire us, because you know we are up against everybody in the when it comes to competition for in the workplace, man. You trying to get up in the world? It's a rat race, dog eat dog. Hey, then we got to deal with white people, Mexican people, Asians, other blacks. We got to fight the police, the power, and everything. It's like, dude, we need to check this idea of the American dream and create our dream.
Right.
What is our dream?
Exactly. Because I know for myself, brother, I mean, my dream is to actually have a nation where my brothers and sisters can live at ease. You know, we can be respected as human beings, not as a color of skin or because we have certain, the way we dress or the way we talk, you know, we're living in a nation that respects us as a nation. We can have all the money, we can have all the power, we can have all access to the resources, but if we don't have that respect, it means nothing. You know, yeah, they can throw us millions of dollars, yeah, they can give us this and that, but they still don't respect us. You know why they don't respect us? Because, number one, most of us don't even respect ourselves. You know, how can we sit there and get mad at the white boy for calling us an N-word if we call ourselves the N-word? You know, how can we get mad at somebody of a different race calling our women the B-word if we calling our women the B-word, you know?
Hello. Just like Freedom of Speech.
So I never call my brothers the N-word. I say, what's up, my brother? You know, I just say, I have to start with myself, you know? Because I was in that vicious cycle once. But I have to tell myself, you know what, if I ever get married and have kids, I don't want my children to walk around calling themselves less than what they're worth. You know, I want my children to look at themselves, look, your forefathers and ancestors were not the N-word or the B-word or, you know, the P or the H-word. You were kings and queens. You were inventors. You were scientists. You were warriors. But most of all, you are chosen people from the Most High. You know? You are nothing that these Caucasians tell you, okay? You are much, much more bigger than that. But then to degrade ourselves as the less than human, you know, that's what hurts me most of all, is some of us have chosen to embrace that. And I'm not going to embrace myself something less than that. I'm looking at myself bigger than that. I'm not saying I'm arrogant and cocky, but you have to be confident. I mean, if you can focus your attention on selling dope and focus your attention on pimping hoes and all that, you can focus your attention on building a business. You can focus your attention on building a grocery store or an apartment store in your community. You can focus on cleaning up your parks or your schools, you know?
Focus on something positive. Accentuate the positive is what I think of. Was it Schoolhouse Rock when we were coming up?
I love that show.
There's nothing like that on TV now. It's just blood and gore and kicking off heads. And you know what? We have slept. I tell you, America, as nobody, no color, it had nothing. All of America slept by. Well, our children. Well, when they talk about multicultural, our kids are being enculturated. Now, this is one thing I can say I was guilty of, because when my mom passed, see, my kids didn't listen to R&B. No, they didn't listen to rap, and they didn't listen to none of the hippie things. But when my mom passed. See, my kids, they were brought up, all they listened to was classical, contemporary jazz. They can name every musician, every instrument, Willie Bobo. That's what they were brought up on. But when my mom died, you know, I turned on, you know, I had to turn on KGLH and, you know, power. I know my mom was like, well, no, you didn't. that's all they knew. And by her, what I learned from that, she took us, as, and me as kids, me and my brother, she took us places that, I mean, she didn't shop out here, at, you know, down here in L.A. County. We went to Orange County to shop. And she worked for the grocery store, the inside office. She was the data processing computer operator, so she worked inside. She knew where the good, like she said, well, you know, good produce and good food goes here. You know, don't go over there. You know, she knew these things. She knew, you know, even though it was Alpha Beta Ralph's, where the good one is, where you go get the good stuff and where they send the bad stuff. And, you know, that kind of stuff needs to stop, too. I mean, it should be a situation where you put the bad at the food for. And see, that's kind of what Ralph's has done, because, you know, Alpha Beta turned into Ralph's. Ralph's turned into Food for Less. Bottom line is that Food for Less is the Ralph's for the, you know, for the neighborhood.
For the hood.
Ralph, yes.
Hood Ralph.
Yes. And that's not cool. You know, the highest grossing Ralph's in California is the Ralph's that's on 3rd in La Brea in what they call Jewtown. Actually, that's $1 million plus a day is what that store makes. My mom told me that. They put the best produce there. They put the best food.
Wow.
See, that is not really cool. Huh?
Isn't that a large Ralph's? Like, it looks large.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's pretty large, but it grosses more than $1 million a day. That one right.
Wow.
Yeah, and she before she retired, she caught a $4 million mistake. I don't know if she ever got paid for that one, but before she retired, that's the highest grossing Ralph in the world, because there is just where money is, and you can go, you can pick. It's like you're picking the fruit and vegetables off the vine. Just
wow.
About. You know what I'm saying? Me, you know, I mean, in the other grocery stores, you know, you smell that bleach when you walk around the fish and all the extra. We were talking about. I think I told you about BP, right? BP.
Yeah.
Right, Junie? You know.
Yes.
I don't think I told Urban. Urban, or did you tell me about BP? BP has sold all. Now, BP is British Petroleum, the ones that are responsible for the leak in the ocean.
Yes.
Right?
The ones
they
that are
have
responsible
sold.
For filling up the Gulf with all that damn oil and trying to act like they can scoop it up.
Yes, and we know that's a bogus lie, because I was in Redondo Beach the day that all those one particular fish that covered the whole ocean, I was there. I saw nothing like that. Now, no other. It's seals and all kind of, you know, by the pier out there. There's other fish. So why was it just that one kind of fish? Kind of looked like a sardine or whatever. Why was it that? See, it's so much going on. There's so much secrecy going on. And, you know, you got to tell it on our government, too. I'm hearing that they're tampering with the weather. I'm hearing that they're doing this. There's so many secrets. See, America should be asking. I mean, when we say we stand up, and ask, where's the money going? What are you, you know, if it's a $400 hammer that they're buying for the military, well, I want to see the receipt.
Who owns our debt, really, for real? Is it like some 3 or 4 people in China or what?
Really? I mean, see, that's what I understand. See, there's some things they'll let us see. Oh, and did you guys check out 60 Minutes with the Owen guy? Well, that's not his real name, about the Bin Laden, the whole situation. He told a whole different account, but now they're mad at him, right? They say that they're, instead of throwing him in jail, because really that was treason if he went against, you know, their word. But let it be known that the White House leaked all the stuff before it even went down. So he just felt like this. They leaked it. He went on and wrote the book. Now, as opposed to our government saying, okay, and them saying they'll put him in jail for treason, because I can understand that, or putting him in the MP.
They're talking about
taking the proceeds of the book. They're talking about taking the proceeds. Now, he's already guaranteed the proceeds to the wives and families of the vets. So, who are you going to be punishing if you take the rights to the book? You're not going to be. He already gave his rights to the families of the missing and lost. So, what punishment is that? What is teaching him anything if you're going to... He already gave it up. It wasn't even about money for him. Because
right.
He said they already told the secret. The White House already let out everything. Everything that lady told them to do when they walked to that house, everything to where Saddam was. Not Saddam, but Bin Laden. He didn't even...
Yeah.
He had a gun. He didn't even try to defend himself. The guy told it. He said he didn't even... You know, at the last moments of his life, he would have thought... Now, the ladies was down. The ladies, they were no joke. They was kind of protecting. But he, you know, at the last moments, he said that he didn't even try to
fight back. He just,
no.
You know.
Like, was he even real, for real? I mean.
I question that, too. When they talk about,
didn't fight back, right? It's like here you are in the movie, supposed to be the big bad terrorist, and it's like they slid your stunt double in. Like, you kill me? That's it?
And then he didn't even go to shoot or anything. Yeah, the one guy shot him. Now, from my understanding, they dragged him to the streets, but from the account of the Owens guy, he said that it was very uneventful. He didn't fight. That's what got him the most, was because he didn't even try to, at all he supposedly have done. But then also, too, I didn't know that the United States and the families, all of his family in the United States are cool. It's just him. Something that he did. And I kind of figure it like this, and this is what I tell people. Don't come tell me what you did to somebody. See, I don't want to know what you did. Don't come tell me what John did last night. Tell me what you was doing with John last night. Don't come tell me what Mary's going to do to me and how she's going to get me dirty. Tell me what you got planned for me. See, I don't really go for the third party anyway. See, the bottom line is that's a bird. What they say, a bird that brings the stone carries the stone. So you better believe. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, I used to play this game with my employees. You know, tell a person that by the time it gets around, it's not the same. That's how it goes. When you whisper in ears and you're telling secrets, secrets hurt. Secrets, secrets that have us where we are today. Secrets, when people are keeping secrets, you're not keeping anything. You're stifling us. You're keeping us in the dark. And what we need to see is what we need to know that all of the car dealers are one now. It's a monopoly. Every car, and you know, I already told you, and I said I wasn't going to drop too much. I won't say too much, but they're all one company. One thing I can say about Obama, he bailed out the banks twice. They robbed us. They robbed old people. They robbed everybody with the loan modification, as well as this reverse mortgage. Everything, they have houses in June. Tell it. How many houses?
Yeah, because I remember a few years back, Las Vegas was talking about how their real estate market, the real estate bubble was going to burst wide open and people were going to start coming out here buying up houses. And what happened was that real estate bubble didn't burst, it fizzled. Because what happened was when the economy began to go down, nobody came out here. They built all these new houses out here and nobody's inhabited them. They're still sitting there collecting dust now as we speak.
Hey, empty homes.
Yep, and up in Oak Hill, up there near what is Victorville, there are communities left empty. Everybody lives in those houses. You guys Google it. Oak Hill, up in the San Bernardino, there's houses up there. My best friend went up there looking. All the houses, streets empty, like ghost town. So they spent a lot of money. And the banks, let me tell you, now they're offering. Now look, you got bailed out twice. You turn around and you do the loan modification twice and you rob people and you still take the homes. You got the homes. You got their money. You took their investment. People lived in those homes for years.
Mm-hmm.
For years. Now, all of a sudden, that they're offering you credit when you go in. When I was in Kmart. Now, you know, Kmart has been off the set for a while. Super Kmart is the only one, like, standing. I think it's a couple of them, but only a couple. They're with Citibank. The banks got with the retailers. All the car dealers became one, and that's AutoNation and Power. I mean, I'm talking about from Maserati, Mercedes, all of them are under one. They're all the same. They're AutoNation. You might see Power, but AutoNation, same thing. They have a third party, which is Western General, which is now protected. They're the warranty. They're doing things. They are meticulously setting us up for failure. Vets coming home. Alarming
you
rate.
Glass-Steagall?
The Last Eagle?
Last Steagall. It was that case that made corporations people. I mean, no, excuse me. It was an act that was blocking them from being able to make corporations people.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all you ever heard of that, brother?
Yes.
No, like me.
Okay. Yes. So back in the days when they discovered the how to create microbes. They went to the Supreme Court, and boy, they basically got a patent on this thing, right? So those are the first acts. That's when they like Monsanto and all these cats, they can, like, patent a seed or say, for instance, a germ or something like that. If they create it in the lab, they can patent. So that's one of the first things that started happening, right? Then later, it was this landmark case where Citizens United basically got ruled that corporations are people. In other words, money is speech.
Mm-hmm.
So now, mm-hmm. that means that a corporation, when they spend enough money on a campaign, they have spoken. Mm-hmm. Right? So uh-huh. now all of this conglomerating and coming together, that's all been planned way ahead of
from
time.
From the day one. When the ships left out of Africa, I'm telling you.
From day one. And what's happening is they're playing us against each other with consumerism.
Uh-huh. And economic struggle. And
right.
education. And they're playing with this with just a high crime rate of against ourselves. They're playing the brown against the black. Everything that is not of, you know, they, you know, anything evil that's not of any good wants everybody to be in confusion. Wants us to hate them. Then, you know, they want to tell us what they want us to fight. They want, you know, they want us to cause trouble. And on these jobs too, you ever had that coworker that tried to instir you to do something, or you know, just want you to snap, or knew you could snap? That's what I went through. It's
there.
Not fair in any company, huh?
I've seen that.
Oh yeah, because you know they look at you. People, we all need to stop stereotyping each other. That means
mm-hmm.
you know, just because a person with mental illness, there's so many different phases of mental illness. There are so many classes. There's so many people, but they're unique people. Homeless people, chronically homeless people, people live out there. They're more appreciative and grateful for the littlest things. And when, you know
mm-hmm.
what? When they're home, when they've already eaten, they'll tell you, no, thank you. They won't take extra. I have people
right.
out there on the street that will not take extra. They'll tell you, I ate already. You know what? And they might not get nothing until we come back the next day, but they'll tell you they ate already. Eat proud people. You know, when the guy said, you know, can't everybody have pride? What is it, just for black? You know, when he came at me with that. Look, everybody has the right to have pride. We all should have integrity. We should have this. We should have some, what is it, the word that I don't hear too often? We should have a... efficacy, we should be resilient. The four elements of EQ, we should all have them. You know, that means turning to your neighbor and doing something for someone else. You
right.
know, put someone ahead of yourself. It's not saying that you're stupid. It's not saying you're ignorant. I mean, you're giving us hope. I'm giving up hope, and I don't have much. So if I don't have much, you just think what I'll do with $1 million. You know, if my mentor says, you'll give your last dollar. Well, if that's the case, if I'm giving my last dollar now and I only got a few, you know what I'm going to do with mine. And that's a call out to all people out there who are in the entertainment business, who are out there making those millions of dollars. You guys
mm-hmm.
better think. See, you know, just like I told people when they were talking about, send the immigrants back. You know, anybody that read, oh, yeah, they're taking the jobs, you know.
Send the immigrants
like
back.
Yeah, I kept it real. Oh, yeah, I kept it real.
Let me,
you know,
one thing, first of all, everybody in this nation is an immigrant if you think about it.
Hello?
Except for the Native Americans, the indigenous people. They were here in the beginning, okay?
Hello?
First of all, for the Caucasians to say send the immigrants back, wait a minute. First of all, you were the first immigrants, okay?
No, the black people sent it, too. When they came up with that whole 180, whatever that proposition was.
187, yeah, I remember that proposition 187.
Oh,
I remember that.
Everybody that I heard that were black, they were saying, and I kept it 100, I heard them say, yeah, they taking jobs. Yeah, imagine it. Wait a minute, hold up. Now, I would go along with that if I saw you trying to go get a job. I ain't seen the ones I heard, the ones I seen that said Mexicans are taking all the jobs. They were people that I ain't never seen go get no job. See, how they gonna take something from your ass you ain't never went to go get? See, that's
keep
bullshit.
It real. Come on now.
Just keep it 100. You know, the ones I heard saying that, oh, send them back. You know what I told people that, black people who said it? I said, you know what? Don't call for them to be exiled. Because you know what? Once they get rid of them, who's next? Who's next?
Yes.
Okay, because you know what? I've heard a lot of people that told me to carry my ass back to Africa, and I ain't never been. I wouldn't know what happened to make the left part.
You know? Because they're telling us to go back to Africa, and I'm like this. You know, when you get your ass out of Africa, I'll go back until then. I ain't going nowhere.
Okay.
You know?
I don't even-